perfect radio station.
Someone's going to get offended. It's just the way the world works. So to hopefully save everyone a little time and or energy, here's this. The opinions that you hear are those of the host and callers, and not those of iHeartMedia, its management, or advertisers.
The Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning.
Yes, it is. Hey, you wanted the best. You got the best ass talk show in the morning anywhere in the country. It's the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. And we are broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. That is a free application for your phone. Sometimes you get it in a new computer. Sometimes you get it in a new car. When you see that little icon, you've got iHeartRadio. You've got like a bunch of radio stations. But more importantly, you have Real Radio 104.1. And you can also pick up our show and the station if you have Alexa, and you say, Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio, and it'll do that for you. Or if you want to hear our podcast, which there's, you know, we got a whole channel, Monster Podcast channel, you can do that by saying, Alexa, play Monsters of the Morning on podcast, and it'll do it. We also have a YouTube channel, and the best way to get hold of us is to go to our website at monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm. There's always new stuff on monsters.fm. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins, host of the program, and with everyone this morning, we are going to do this until 11 o'clock. Here's the go-ripping champion of Hawaii, Florida, Dirty Jim.
Hello.
Our producer is the Angel LaBoom, Angel Rivera.
Cool, what up?
Tim Wright is Mr. Motivation, Carlos Navarro.
The time never stop, baby.
You can text the show, you can call the show, you can email the show. It's interactive. That's what's great about live talk radio, is while we're happening, you're right there, and you can text us now if you want to. 77031, that's the texting number. You can text all the shows on the radio station, but while we're here, we are manning it, and sometimes Dirty Jim might text you back, or it might be me, might be Angel Carlos, you never know. And we also read the stuff you say on the air. It's 77031. You can email me, russ@wtks.com, if you got a, like, an in-depth question and you want us to talk about it on the air and kind of hash it out. We can do that. It's russ@wtks.com, and then, you know, call on the show. It's 407-916-1041. At 8 o'clock, we'll do the six things you knew we talk about and open up the phones for whatever you want to throw at us, which is fine. And it is, July 30th, right? Tomorrow's 31st, so we're almost into the end of July.
Yep.
And getting ready for the fan appreciation show, which is coming up this coming weekend, which I'm looking forward to that. Man, on the way in this morning, I live kind of in the Altamont area, and the radio station's in Maitland, so it's not that much of a drive on I-4.
At all.
I mean, it's quick. I mean, it takes me exactly 9 minutes to get from my house to,
wow,
to here. But on that little 9-minute drive, man, this morning on I-4 going towards downtown Orlando, and it's like right in front of that condo that I used to live at. It's right before 436. Man, like 5-car accident, and I must have just gotten there because I could still see like the steam coming up from
damn,
a fire, and there was, it looked like an entire engine was in the middle of the road.
How does that happen?
I don't, you know, I
engine
that's
mounts.
Not good.
No,
faulty engine mounts.
No. There were 4 or 5 cars involved. And whatever accident happened, it left the engine, you know, in the middle of the highway, and the other cars were just, I mean, demolished. It looked bad.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let's see, are we talking exits 92 through 96?
That would be right up here.
Yeah, that's what everyone's texting in now.
Yeah, because the Sanford exits are in the hundreds, so right at 103 or something like that. So it's got
to
be that.
Yeah, it was right in front of the condo that used to live at, right before the exit to get off 436. And I mean, it must have just happened. There were no ambulances there yet. There were people sitting beside their cars, and I wonder, like, how does that happen? You're just going straight. It looked like one car ran into another, like T-boned it, but that's not possible.
I mean, that road is perfectly clear. All the exits are clear. There's nothing wrong with the I-4. That area is perfectly fine going through.
No lane shifts. Everything's clear. More than likely what happens is this, Russ. So imagine you're switching lanes, right?
Yeah.
But when you don't give yourself enough clearance and your trunk hits the front end of another car, turns you sideways.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Then as someone's coming down out of the lane, they could T-bone you for sure. But as a car starts spinning out, you know, it slows down dramatically. So other cars going 60, 70 miles an hour are going to have impact.
You think it's overcorrecting too?
A lot of times it can be that. Yeah.
Overcorrecting.
I would just say phone.
Yeah, it could be phone.
Phone. Whenever those things happen, I go phone.
Carlos is 100% right. Yeah. I will tell you right now, as it's the for the for sure for the last 3 months of my life,
yeah,
as I've been paying attention to it. Every single person I run into that's driving poorly,
yeah,
that's not paying attention to, paying attention to a lane shift, doesn't put on their blinker, doesn't do this stuff, that just courtesy stuff, every single one of them have been on their telephone.
I couldn't tell what kind of car it was, but one of the cars disintegrated. It was like, the other cars seemed to be okay, but one was totally, like, everything was off it. The engine was in the middle of the street. It was terrible.
Talking about the phone thing, just yesterday I was out going to DeLand down I-4, and I'm driving along, and I thought that this is one of the most of our, I just found it hysterical. So the baby on board thing, I didn't realize people still use those things.
I've always
thought it was just stupid. It's like, it doesn't make sense at all, but I was like, whatever.
Why?
It's just like, it doesn't stop anybody.
Yeah.
And in particular, in this scenario, okay, baby on board, I was like, okay, driving by. I happen to look over. It's a dad, and he's on his cell phone.
Right, right.
So yeah. I whip out my cell phone. We're both doing like 90 on I-4, and I'm videotaping him doing 90. Whatever, baby on board.
Hey, you're trying to make a point.
Yeah, I'm trying to go viral here. Yeah, whatever.
I want to get a cardboard cutout of the actual baby, the rapper.
Yes.
And hey, baby. So the baby on board is like, hey, baby. All iced out.
In a little baby seat. Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't imagine they're going to get that cleaned up very quickly over on, it's I-4 going towards downtown Orlando, right into the Altamont, the 436.
Yeah, westbound. Yeah.
It was bad. I mean, like I said, I just had gotten there. And I made, because there were like six police officers standing telling people to go through, and I made sure that I didn't, what do you call it, rubberneck?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm like, had my head straight, but I was doing it with my eyes because I was trying to see, but I didn't want the police officer to think I was rubbernecking.
With the exception of just past downtown going west, which is also a nightmare right now, where they're building the 408 overpass, it's so bad and dangerous that if you're going through there, if anything over 50 miles an hour, I'm serious, you're risking your life. We were going down there this weekend, and it was so bad. I remember looking at my wife like, man, if you did not drive this path every day, or you did not understand what you were looking for, and you were coming through there going 50, 60 miles an hour, normal highway speeds, you could have, I mean, it's a 30% chance that you're going to have to overcorrect or something and possibly cause an accident. The second worst is exactly where that just happened.
Yeah.
That shift coming under Maitland, where they're building that other road over right now, and it goes back and forth like that. Cars aren't meant to do S zigzags like that going 65 miles an hour.
No, it's
just not meant to do it. By the way, I would just sit on my engine when the cops showed up. If I didn't have a car, I would just sit there on my idling motor as it sat by itself in the middle of the road.
There was one dude that was, you know how they have those concrete walls that are not really tall, but they're concrete walls.
Yeah, the barriers.
The barriers, okay. There was a guy leaning up against the barrier, and he just had his head, and just shaking his head, you know, and obviously freaked out. And there was someone still in one of the vehicles.
Oh, man.
So,
glad he's alive.
It was, it was bad, man. It was bad. So be careful out there and know that that's happening. Also, now, you went to, St. Pete this weekend?
No, that was last weekend. Oh. This weekend I went out to Top Golf. First time I got to try the Top Golf thing. Have you heard about it? Do you know what it is?
Yeah, I've heard about it. And they had one in Birmingham, Alabama, believe it or not.
I was out there for my birthday, Jimmy. I had a blast.
I got invited this weekend too, but I just didn't get to make it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think Ziggy was out there.
Oh, really? That's cool.
That 9-to-1 kind of deal.
Yeah, yeah. They have a bunch of different deals or whatever, but basically it's a fancy driving range.
Yeah.
It's different because you play games with it. I have to tell you that they really look at it. It's like a blend of golf and bowling. It's interesting how they do it. Like you
the
play
games they made up?
Yeah, you play games. So you have a computer screen that keeps your score for you, and you have your players up to six per bay or whatever, per pod or area. Mm. And you play different games, scoring games, almost like darts for us. We have 301, there's, you know, freeze out type thing. And it was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
The place is really, really nice. I have to tell you, they have customer service down to a point. I mean,
really?
It's unbelievable. You check in, you move to your bay, you have your own concierge that comes and gives you, you know, gets you your beers and stuff. The food was incredible. One of my social media pages has some of the stuff up you can see, but it was a lot of fun.
That's cool.
And they're building one right up the street.
Oh, really?
Where is it at?
They're building one in Lake Mary Heathrow.
Oh,
they sure are, yeah, because, I mean,
where?
Gee, I wonder if anyone golfs out there.
Yeah, right. Very popular. And you know what? Golf has to be very careful of how they're doing business now, because, man, the way that people consume golf, unless you're a player and you really like being out there,
this could take it over.
I could see this completely taking care of your golf bug in an afternoon with fans blowing and bar service and great food,
and you turn it into an event as far as the actual game, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
You can get pros out there.
Yeah.
And
you can involve people who don't really know how to play very well too, right?
And that's the dilemma. You ruin golf.
Right.
Look, I love it. I've been out there, and for the, you know, just for the casual weekend warrior kind of like myself, it's perfect. It gives you exactly what you need. You got that place. There's another place across town in Lake Nona that do the same thing, right? Yeah. But here's the thing. That's not golf.
No.
It's not golf in any way, shape, semblance, or form, except that you use a golf ball and a golf club, that could, in and of itself, can ruin the game.
You don't even have to own golf clubs, because when you show up, they've got a rack there that's got righties and lefties and girls and guys. So if you think about the idea of driving to a golf course, booking a tee time, getting out of your car, getting set, hitting a few balls, going to the golf course, waiting on other people. I mean, I know now I play less golf than ever because I simply don't have the time.
See, I tell you, I would, if someone said, hey, let's go play a round of golf, I would not do that, but I would go out to Topgolf because it's not as intimidating. Like, okay, all I got to do is kind of, you know, go out. I feel like I'd ruin everyone else's time if I went out on a day of, real golf.
Yeah.
But I could go to Topgolf and hit it around and see how well I can do.
You'll have a blast because, like Jimmy's saying, the food's it's amazing. Yeah. The setup, you're feeling like you're in the future.
Yeah, they brought me a plate. They brought me a plate of food that was like this thing they make there. And when I sat it down, I'm like, wow, that's like literally something you would get as an appetizer at a restaurant. I mean, the presentation, it's not just a bunch of fries and stuff slopped onto a plate. They actually care. And I specifically remember saying to myself after about 20 minutes and looking around at the makeup, families, moms and dads, single moms out there with their kids, single dads out there with their kids, bro groups out there hanging out. I was like, golf better pay very close attention to this and understand that their game could be, I mean, it is a perfect replacement for it.
There was a story this morning about another golf course that closed down because, I mean, people aren't playing as much golf.
This is what happens, right? So let's say millennials are, you know, the next generation, they jump on this and they think this is golf.
Yeah.
You can see this like esports, very similar. You get a couple big, huge companies behind it.
Yeah.
And you're watching this.
Yeah.
On the weekends, there's already a Topgolf television
League
program. There's already a program on the Golf Channel.
And environmentally, think about what this means as opposed to fertilizer, tons of water, maintenance fees.
But
golf courses are out of business, not because they don't have to. Golf courses are extremely expensive to maintain.
Yeah. All right, we talk a little bit more about that. Find out what everyone else did for the weekend. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
iHeartRadio is the easy to use app for music and radio. Download the free iHeartRadio app today. From Radio. Radio.
104.1. Hey, welcome back to the Monsters of the Morning on Radio 104.1 this beautiful Monday. I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim, Carlos and Angel, and you know, we always, the first hour of the show, we like to kind of fill in, find out what everybody else has done over the weekend. Jimmy, real quick, so I thought I saw something, maybe it was Primetime Kitchen, with you and a chef on Instagram. Was that from last week?
Yeah, that was from last week.
Why did this come out like a week later? That does that sometimes.
Yeah, it does it to me too. I get stuff on my feed all the time, and I was like, oh my God, and my wife will be like, that happened like 9 days ago, dude. Wake up.
Yeah, why is it doing
that? Hey, Rumpel, chill out. Everything's fine.
You post or a friend of yours comments or likes on
and
that
it
post,
and it comes back
and
up.
And it jumps in your news feed.
Yeah,
it's intentional. So.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, it's just that I'm stupid.
No. I've done it before, and I'm like, what? And then I look, and it's like, oh, that was 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking about on my way in this morning, there was a horrible accident on I-4. I don't know if they cleaned it up now or not, because that was like about 5 o'clock this morning. But you know, just talking about that accident, be careful on I-4 if you're in the 436 area. You almost got into an accident this weekend, Angel?
It was Friday. Not an accident, but just had a really scary moment. But it happens, you know, on I-4, right?
Oh,
so I'm driving down the road. I'm trying to rush out to get to an appointment. And literally my rear right rotor, hydraulic line, brake line, all of that, locks explodes.
Oh, you know, God.
Yeah, for lack of a better way to explain it, that's literally what happened.
How does that happen?
It could just be faulty equipment, but I didn't have an issue with the car beforehand. And
do you ride the brake a lot?
No. If anything, I ride the gas a lot.
Yeah. When was the last time you had a full checkup on the car?
I do an annual tune-up, so I usually do that. And I knew, like, for example, I knew my brake job was in the works. Like, I was getting ready to do that. But for something like that, just catastrophic failure of a component, That hasn't happened to me too many times behind the wheel of any car.
So how fast were you going and where were you at?
So let's say, last time I saw you guys, right before we leave.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm up past, let's say, on the other side of downtown, like right after OBT, where you know where the Harley dealership is?
Yeah, so you're going down I-4.
Yeah, just, you know, hauling because I need to get to an appointment. And I thought I broke something. Well, I did break something, but I thought it was worse. Like, it seemed like I hit something, or I thought I missed something on the road.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
And that's what I thought. I was like, what did I hit? Because I didn't see it, because it was just that kind of crunch.
So you hit the brakes and nothing happened?
And so then, so basically what ends up happening there is that your front brakes, because it's a, you know, four disc brakes and all that. So the front was able to slow me down enough, and I was able to pull off. But at that point, I was just terrified of driving the car, so I parked it.
I've had that happen one time in my life where the brakes just stopped working, and that's scary as hell.
Yeah.
I used to have really bad brakes in the car, and I would just use the emergency brake most of the time.
That's what you call improvising.
That's what you call broke.
It was an old Honda. I was like, right out of high school. I was like, let me just use this. But that's scary.
So what you do? You park it and have someone tow it?
I towed it, and then my guy Patrick, I'm gonna I'm gonna shoot him a little email here in a little bit, and just tell him what I heard and what happened.
So you got a guy, huh?
Yeah, I do have a guy.
It's good to have a guy.
Yeah, yeah. So he's got a really good shop and
glad
everything.
You're all right.
But I'm terrified of that number that comes back. So
it's gonna be very cheap.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Brakes are almost nothing.
Honestly, just
almost nothing.
Here's what's
he's not driving an import.
Oh yeah, or you know, expensive car. But here's what's funny, right? So I'm telling you what happened, right? This is my experience. This just happened to me. Mm-hmm. First text message: brakes don't do that. What works on? Well, who works on your stuff? How old is the car? I just went through this,
liar.
Dude.
I was telling you, this just happened.
This just happened to me.
He goes, brakes don't do that. But possibly if these two things are there, it does.
But you know,
come on, man.
When you say that today, and once again, when I had my party company or whatever, we'd have problems with trucks and stuff, and I'd have guys that work for me go, hey, man, there's a dude in my neighborhood. He works on trucks. He'll change them for you. It'll be a lot cheaper. And I'm like, oh, hell, why not? Give it a shot. And you take it over to this dude's house in Eatonville, and that's all he did was fix it. And actually, the guy was great.
Oh, yeah.
He did a great job. But nowadays, it's not.
Shady Tree Mechanics, man.
Well, it's like. See, I had no problem with that guy, just so you know.
Yeah.
But now it's like you can't really trust or people can't really work on the newer vehicles because they're so smaller and they're so much more computerized.
Yeah, it's done on purpose. They don't want you working on the car. They want you to continue to go to the dealership and sign up for the extended services or go to another outlet, you know?
Yeah.
It's very rare. Like, if you see guys that work on cars nowadays, it's very specialized. And you go and get your certifications. There's a couple of companies that do advertising with us that do that kind of training and whatnot. But it's the guys that work on the older cars that seem to be able to have their own garages and whatnot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
But this will be fun.
I'm sure. Now, you think about getting another car, just getting this one fixed, or?
You know, it's weird because I got this particular vehicle I got after the accident, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's reasons why I got this one. It's bigger, the safety features and whatnot. And I'm at that, whatever it's called, like that arc where I need to hold on to this car for like another year before I make another car deal, or I'm just going to start rolling negative equity into other cars, and that's not a good idea.
Hold on as long as you can, man. If you got one bad brake, just keep driving.
It's brakes, dude. I mean, honestly, it can only get so expensive. I mean, dead serious. Rotor caliper, I mean, unless it did some damage flopping around there to the hub.
I stopped.
You should be fine. It really isn't going to be. And honestly, brakes, oddly enough, are one of those things that are also very easy to fix just by following a few procedures. It's all basically the same design.
Don't roll in that neck. I've done that before. And it just screws you, man. And you're like, well, it's only $30 more on my payment, and I'm adding $10,000. You know, so I got so screwed with that as a younger guy looking at that. And
I almost did it because I was like, so if that happens Friday, so Saturday, I'm like, screw this. I'm gonna get a newer car. I don't have to worry about. I went to a place. I did the credit app. I was like,
did you really?
Yeah, dude, because I saw this truck. I was like, oh, look at this.
There you go.
It's SRT, blah, blah, blah. It's all black on black rims and everything. This is exactly what this all was supposed to happen.
What changed your mind?
Did you have a conversation?
No. The my payment.
I'm sure they made it seem real. That's no big deal. Yeah, just roll that in.
But it's, you know, it's another. And I was like, wow, that's a lot more than what I'm paying right now.
But I get that new truck.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, I was like, but I, like, it's when those things happen, how quickly, you know, for me, like the overreact, you know, it's like, oh, I don't want to have to deal with this. I don't have to worry about this. Let me just go get something.
You're
there.
Emotional.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, a salesman licking.
And these guys were just like, oh, this guy.
You're not married? And you're not married? Come on in, sir.
Man. Oh, yeah.
You're a real man. And you make decisions on your own. You're not like these other guys in here that got to their wives.
Jimmy, and then the worst is that the dude's been calling me nonstop since then.
Oh, sure.
I got it waiting for you.
Yeah, it's ready for you. Jimmy, you still driving your... You have that little Ford Mustang, right?
Yeah, I got my little Mustang. My boy's driving it now. We're waiting on his date to go to boot camp right now, so he's driving it until that because, you know, his truck kind of broke down. I was like, well, don't buy anything new. You don't need to do that now because you're hauling ass. So he's driving my little car. Now, I did have it for about 5 days last week and did a tune-up, which is amazing because it's amazing just what a simple tune-up will do for a vehicle. But it was no fun to drive beforehand because it was a dog. Now it's really fun to drive. So just a little bit of a tune-up and, you know, $130. It's amazing. Just take the time to do it, you know.
Now, this wouldn't be called your dream car, but it was a fun one for you to buy to play with.
Yeah, it's cheap. I mean, I do have a dream car, but I do not – I am cheap, so I am not going to spend $35,000 or more to build my dream 240Z.
Is the dream still the 92 Miata?
Yeah. Well, that one's achievable. I have five of those already.
I got to tell you, I got a dream car, and I think it was Friday. You ever thought that, oh, man, if I ever had an opportunity, I'd buy this. I would get it. And then when the rubber meets the road, you look at it, you're like, man, Russ, that'd be stupid. I found a guy who has six Batmobiles. I mean, six. Absolutely.
Did not expect that.
Perfect.
I expected a real car.
It is a real car.
I knew exactly what was going down that road.
I was thinking of his old Mustang.
No.
You totally took me down a road.
No, this guy's got six.
Shame on me for not guessing.
Yeah. Replica Batmobiles.
What are we going
to
learn?
He had permission from DC to make these.
I get it. You had to make a Batman reference before 6:30.
No, it's reality.
Guys, since I've been on the show, I know for a fact that this is something that he's been contemplating
for a long time.
Yeah, we talked to with a Parker brothers, talked to Mark Parker because he had a couple that he was moving around.
Russ likes the old one though.
No, he had one of the old ones.
Well, this guy has a six of the old ones, right? And he actually, they're not the actual ones used on the TV show, but they look exactly like, actually they're better than the.
And
the
you can tell people that they used it on the TV show.
And I'm looking at it, and the guy goes, look, they got six of them. He's willing to let one go really, really, you know, a good price for what they're. I'm like, oh man, you know, and I look at it, and then they show an old guy getting in the Batmobile and driving it around his town, and I'm like, I would be that old man in a Batmobile. I'm like, I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Actually, now that's my dream car. I want to see you drive one of those busted ass Batmobiles around Orlando.
No, it's not busted. The one the guy makes them. I should put the.
How much was it? How much were they trying to sell?
Well, it originally he was selling them for $250,000, but you can pick one up for $75 right now, and it's got the fire that comes out the back. It's badass.
You know, it's worth about 10.
Yeah, and just officially, you'd become your dad.
I know. I would become my dad.
It's a squirting elephant necklace.
In the little video, they show a guy who bought one, and he's got it in his town, and he's like, it's great. He gets to go to parades, and it shows him in a parade.
That's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to get invited to everything, but it's like, yeah, can you bring the Batmobile
with you? Yeah, bring that Batmobile with you. So, I thought if I haven't had the real opportunity, I would pull the trigger. I was like, no, I can't do that.
Oh, my God.
Where would I park it? Where would I drive it?
If it rains,
it's going to get... It just,
if you have that type of vehicle, you have to. It has to be garage kept.
Yes.
Yeah, it has to be. And there's no space with all the Ryobi tools you have.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
And you can't drive it in the rain because the real Batmobile, you know, the bubbles don't close up. It's open.
I am. That's going to be a bitch in Florida.
Yeah, that would be a bitch in Florida. But anyway.
Do you have a real dream car?
I'm not a car guy.
I'm just saying that. I don't really have one either. It's not like one in my head. I mean, I like certain cars.
Yeah.
But there's not like one in my head. Like
a Cobra. Like a Cobra Shelby.
That's a good car.
Mustang. Yeah.
Those are cool, but like there's nothing that's like, you know, I dream about like the 28.
It's weird with me, though. I don't really dream about the supercars all that much. I figure they'd be fun to drive, but they're very cumbersome to get in and out of and not very practical.
Like the Ferraris and stuff?
Yeah, like all the Ferraris and Lamborghinis. I mean, it'd be fun to drive one, but I don't think I could drive one every day. I don't think I could own one because it doesn't look like it's that much fun.
Yeah.
Because they are really hard. They're small inside. People don't understand that. They're really not built for... I'm 6'2", or 6'1", actually. But it's not that... It's not built for big people.
Yeah.
And when you see the sports guys driving them, I mean, it takes them 5 minutes to get out of the damn thing.
That's why I think, like, to me, a loaded Cadillac Escalade.
Oh, yeah,
like,
man.
Big, so it's always comfy, you know. Something like that would probably be like...
Rolling Fortress.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. On top of that, very safe, secure.
I'm good with anything that's got air conditioning. If it's got air conditioning, I'm good. As long as that's working. If that's not working, I'm out. Hey, you went to a theme park this week?
Yeah, I went to Blizzard Beach.
Yeah, yeah. You do like the damn water parks, don't you?
And it is summer in Florida. It
really is. Bizarre for Team Ocean Guy to avoid the beach at all costs, but he will visit every one of Central Florida's finest water parks.
You know what you can do at Blizzard Beach? See the bottom.
Yeah, and you know what?
If you're Team Ocean, you don't care. Angel, you're in the ocean and the beach.
On the way there, I was watching ocean videos, okay? I was watching some new stuff that's come about. I was watching some people save a shark. When a lot of people were running away, this surfer dude pulled the shark in. But yes, I did go to
Surfer
Blizzard Beach.
Rock that way.
And I do feel good about going to Blizzard Beach, even though, like, before I left, I was like, I'm not my best right now. You know, I need to continue hitting the gym. And then I get there and I look around, I'm like, I'm an Adonis. Yeah.
I'm so good. Way ahead of the game.
Yes!
Because I love people walking around, no shame. And I sit there, and I'm in line, right? And I'm in line for, like, one of those rides. And I'm looking. Everybody's shirtless, and we're staying there. I'm like, if we were in line for a pretzel at the mall, we'd all be arrested right now. Right. It's just interesting the situations that we allow. Like, I'm standing next to a lady, basically only her nipples covered.
Yeah.
And she's about three bills.
And
we're just waiting in line, like, standing there like nothing. Like, everything's normal.
Yeah.
Just because we're in this designated area.
Isn't that weird? It really is.
And then a second we step out, if she's wearing that at
Any place else.
Yeah. Jail.
Dale, what is this crazy woman doing? Or man, you know? But my daughter's big enough to ride all the rides now, too.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we made it only for a little bit because here in Florida, within 4 or 5 o'clock, if earlier, you're getting thunderstorms and you gotta check out.
Storm. Yeah, you gotta go early now. We're in the season where it's like, 3 o'clock. The humidity was so unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
It makes it good for napping, though.
Yeah, was so bad this weekend. My God almighty. We were doing some work around the house.
Yeah.
Putting up those wall boards that look like flooring, but you put them on the wall, but it's like distressed. By the way, what a great business. Somebody figured out, hey, you know what we can do with these pallets that people are burning and just throwing away?
Yeah.
We'll pull the pallet pats off. We'll engineer them and mill them so they look like old floorboards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they chemical stain them so they look like they're weathered. And I'll sell them for $25 for 10 of them.
My buddy's doing a tabletop for he does a bunch of, shout out to Chris, and he's doing one for our table. Looks really nice.
It is unbelievable how much money they get for that stuff. And it's basically old fencing.
Yeah, yeah.
And old pallets is what they use to do that.
And
pretty
you use
amazing.
It for the floor?
Yeah, no, wall, you actually put them on the wall.
Oh, okay.
It looks like that wall, you know, like you see your flooring.
Yeah.
If it was wood flooring, but on your wall.
That actually probably looks really good, though.
So we had up the set up chop saw and stuff in the garage, and every time I had to open that door and go outside to cut a piece, I was like, God damn, man, this is like the jungle, dude. It is so brutal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, hot as hell. Is it Ryobi or just a regular?
No, it's actually, you know what? It's Code Blacks, and it is a Ryo.
Oh, there you go.
Good man. Good man.
Real man work. All right. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Real Radio. 104.1.
Hey. I'll leave the pocket and no press and off. Who's that?
Judas Priest. Okay. Welcome back to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. Woo! I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Still wrapping up stuff from over the weekend. Some things are not fun to talk about, especially early in the morning. But I want to get it out of my system, and then we can move on. It's weird how things have changed. This is the first time I talked about it a little bit last week, but I wasn't really sure exactly what was going on. But a person that I would say was a friend, because we would talk every once in a while on social media, and I'd see him out sometimes, and we had spent some time going out and hanging out, and he passed away. And it's weird to see the difference now. I don't think I've gone through somebody passing away with the social media time now. You know, like the last time someone close to me died, I don't think social media was a big deal, but to see how as soon as, and his name is Bob Lee, and Bob Lee was a wonderful, wonderful guy.
And apparently knew everybody in Orlando.
Jimmy, that's what I was going to say.
I mean, apparently this
everybody.
Guy had an encounter with this guy,
yeah.
And it was the most magical time in their life because my social media feeds, all of them, absolutely
yes.
Nuclear melted into the earth.
Yeah.
Like 3 miles. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I was like, how have I never met this guy?
That's what I was going to say.
Everybody I know has met this guy.
It was so odd to see how many people that I know knew Bob Lee, but I didn't know that they knew Bob Lee. You know, my friend Cindy, and I'm like, I didn't know you knew Bob. And so many people knew him. And I will just say this about Bob Lee. And if you knew him, you know what I'm talking about. If you didn't, I will just say, wonderful guy, good looking dude. He's always in great shape. And he would take, he and I, and like, you know, I have had some ups and downs in my life, and there are times he would just give me a call and say, hey, let's go have some lunch. Let's go sit and talk. And he's a little bit older than me, so we'd sit and talk about life and marriage and, you know, what's important, what's not important. And it's a guy that would actually take time to sit and talk to you, you know, about what's going on. And I just, anytime I saw him, he's a big smile, big hug.
How'd you meet
sweet
this guy?
I met him through Shannon Fraser.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, we hung out a lot, and we you know continued to remain to be friends, and I know a lot of people that he knows, and it was cancer, and yeah. I gotta tell you, man, I sat and look, and I'm like, man, the guy's in great shape. He always eats right. He's always, and here I am, fat as hell. It's like, how does he pass away? And I, you know, it's. And he and I would joke about stuff like that, about, damn, man, you look...
you guys would joke about impending death, would you?
No, I would just joke about how much better... You know, he was like 69 years old, you know?
Oh, I didn't know he was that old.
That's a great age.
And he didn't look it, you know, at all. And he just always had this great, great attitude. And anyway, but
I didn't know he was that old because all the photographs I saw of him...
He looks great.
Well, I assume he was younger, I guess, yeah. Maybe, because, I mean, there's a... Like, because of my, it's weird because I have the Primetime Kitchen feeds. I have people on that don't even know that I do this, to be honest with you. And people, like, from not even this state who used to live here, like, oh, yeah, Bob Lee passed. And here he is looking like a guy who just stepped off a yacht.
Yeah.
Every day of his life, this guy looks like a guy who just stepped off a yacht.
He worked with a lot of charities here in town.
What did he actually do?
I don't really know.
Oh.
I never knew what he did. I just knew he was always, he'd be working on some sort of a charity coming up or some sort of a opening for some sort of a bar or something, and he'd invite me to come out, and just always a super nice guy.
More or less a consultant. You know, he had his fingers, you know, he had his irons and a bunch of different stoves and everything.
Fires. Yeah,
and I worked for him a couple different times for a couple different events.
Oh, so you knew him as well?
Yeah.
God, man, it's so weird. That was my observation.
As a networking guy, that was one of the guys you wanted to network with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's, here we are with the social media. I know there's bad things about social media, and there's, you know, I think there are some good things, and this was one of the good things for me to see how many people were pouring out love for Bob Lee, who I didn't even know knew him, you know? I mean, it was almost better than going to a funeral. You could just see everyone had all these great pictures of him, and all these wonderful things to say, and I ended up, you know, a Saturday night just crying about the whole thing because I wished I'd picked up that phone and called him before I knew any of this was going to happen, you know.
Yeah, man.
And you always say that, and you always say it afterwards, like, man, I wish I would have, but to see the outpouring, and I'm glad you saw the same thing, Jimmy. The
it's
outpouring
crazy.
Of people that knew the guy, and I think that's the way. You know, in modern times, I think that's the way it's going to go down. It's not how many people show up to your funeral, but how many people post about you on social media. And I think it provided a little bit of closure for me to see all that, and how many people love the guy and had the same experience that I had, you know.
Yeah, it's a place to go to mourn, weird in a sense. Like,
yeah.
You go to the page and you're kind of looking at what other people, oh, I forgot about that. It's weird. It's, you know, more and more our digital life is becoming our real life.
Someone sent me a photo of Bob and I when we went with a bunch of friends out to drink around the world at Epcot. And I had totally forgotten that we had done that. And, you know, you look at that time and it was a good time for reflection and to go, wow, man, those old photos of this friend who passes seemed to, it made me... made me happy in one way, but still sad. The whole thing that you have, I guess, at a funeral, it was kind of the same feeling.
Yeah.
You know? So,
Does it strike you because he's like closer to your age and everything?
Well, I didn't realize he was that much older than me. It struck me because he always was in such great shape, and he worried about what he ate, and he was like a healthy guy. And I was like, "Damn, Bob is—he's in great shape." And how does he? But it, you know, it was cancer, and he, you know,
cancer's a bitch that's always early and never late, man.
Yeah,
and you always go, what the. And it's there, man. And hopefully one day we'll figure that out.
It was neat to see how many people loved him, though.
Yeah, it's good.
And death is something that none of us like to talk about. I know that talking about it first thing in the morning sucks for some people, but I don't get it off my chest, I won't be able to move past it.
And this is not the only time we're going to talk about it today. Let's face it.
Oh my God! Yeah, the wrestling thing.
Yeah, well, a couple of them. So I mean, you look at him like, well, okay, you're a little bit older, but the other one, you know,
that's a weird one.
Follows right on the path. I mean.
Yeah, well,
I haven't seen the news.
Well, it's Jerry Lawler's son, Brian Lawler, and he hung himself in prison. Jail.
He was in jail because he was getting pulled over for DUI.
Yeah.
He ran from the cops.
Yeah.
They got him. They put him in jail. He hung himself. They found him unresponsive, took him to the hospital where he passed.
Man,
things can't be.
43 years old.
Was it 43 or 46?
Was it 46? I thought I read 43, but it is 40.
No, he's 46.
Is he?
Yeah, 46-year-old Brian Lawler. He went as a Grandmaster Sexy.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, for a cool minute, it was Scotty B. Hottie or Too Hottie or whatever.
The Grandmaster? Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
And they were that tag team. And
they were.
And man, for about a year and a half or so, the same time that Buff Bagwell thing was going over, that whole youth movement thing was really big. I mean, those guys went... as a tag team, you know, in the game, was it WCW or wrestling?
That was WCW,
And they went through the roof pretty quickly. Then, you know, much like wrestling, the minute you're not attractive anymore, or your action figure isn't selling, or you're not getting the pop.
Basement pasture. But his dad, I mean, is a legend, you know, and God, being pulled over for a DUI. Okay, he ran from the cops. That's going to be an extra little bit of trouble for that. But man, the solution is to hang yourself.
There's a lot of other stuff going on.
All right, we can talk about that a little bit. Also, a chance to win tickets for this coming Saturday. It's the Monster Fan Appreciation Show. It's this coming Saturday at Universal Studios Orlando. We're taking over Saturday morning, Real Radio 104.1, and we're having a big party. We want you to join us to win tickets. You might want to get on the line. The telephone number to dial is 1-888-978-1041. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Lots of people call. Some even do it without crying. Real Radio 104.1. From Real Radio. Real Radio.
Hey, good morning. It's the Triple R segment at 7. Your chance to win some stuff, and it's brought to you by MyHomeBuildersNetwork.com. That's where you go, MyHomeBuildersNetwork.com. Mike the Home Builder, great guy, and he's a fourth-generation contractor. So if you're having problems with your roof, he can repair the roof. He can give you, put a whole brand-new roof on if you want. But anything that's going on around your house, if you're like me and you're not that skilled at repairs, and you need a real repairman to do it, Mike the Home Builder can help you out. His website is myhomebuildersnetwork.com. That's myhomebuildersnetwork.com. They can even help you with your insurance claims. You know, whether you need an entire new roof or just repairs, he can definitely help you out. He pays close attention to detail, and he's a really nice guy. It's Mike the Home Builder, myhomebuildersnetwork.com with an S, builders. MyHomeBuildersNetwork.com. Make sure you call Mike the Home Builder and tell him that Russ and the Monster sent you. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. And let's see what prize we have in the prize pinata today.
The prize pinata is brought to you by Cento Family Moving and Storage, the family-owned and operated company, and they're offering both residential and commercial moving services for businesses all over the country. Fully trained expert moving crew, adept in packing, furniture handling, safe driving, and excellent customer service. Go to the website, centomoving.com. That is CENTOmoving.com. You hit the start quote button, put your information there. Let them handle your next move, in particular if you decide to move during the summer because it's hot.
Oh, boy.
Up first, we have a pair of tickets to see Orlando City take on New England Revolution at the Orlando City Stadium. That's going down August 4th, a Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are on sale right now. Visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more information.
End up winning last night?
Man, no.
Are you kidding? They were up 2-1.
It was a phenomenal game, but they ran into a buzzsaw, and his name is Zlatan.
Oh.
He had a hat trick. So he had a hat trick. He got 3 goals last night. Made him forced him to take his jersey off so
he's,
we could
he's really fat. He's
so
really
we could
fat.
Awe at his just chiseled physique. Yeah. So but yeah. They look good.
What's his name?
Zlatan.
That's a badass name.
Imrovogovic.
Zlatan.
Not even close to his last name, I know, but he's a WWE character that plays MLS.
Oh, really?
Oh, that guy is so full of bravado and just amazingness and just cocky and confident.
Who does he play for?
LA.
Yeah, he plays for that one team, not us.
Oh, yeah. When he came into the league, he put out a page in the LA Times that just said, "You're welcome."
See, and his debut was like a 40-yard goal from midfield. It was just absolutely ridiculous.
Would you say the smartest thing that they've done for American soccer is when they hired Beckham to play for the LA Galaxy? Because I know who the LA Galaxy is only because they got David Beckham. I mean, that was years ago, right? But
I think that's been a huge part of what MLS has been doing. Getting some of these guys, and obviously understanding this, that these iconic guys that played Premier League, we're catching them on the back end.
Yeah.
But it's the first time we get to see some of these guys on the regular, you know?
Yeah, but that was the first time it seemed like everybody was talking about soccer when David Beckham was, you know.
Totally.
Up next, we have a pair of tickets to see Classic Albums Live, Fleetwood Mac Rumors at the Hard Rock Live, and that's going down August the 3rd, Friday. Tickets are on sale right now. Visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more information. A 4-pack of tickets to the Dave Matthews Tribute Band at the House of Blues.
Uh-huh.
And that's Friday, August the 3rd as well. Tickets are on sale right now. Visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more information for those. And we'll wrap it up with a pair of tickets to join us, the Monsters, for Monsters Fan Appreciation Day at Universal Orlando on Saturday, August the 4th. Prizes include two-park, two-day park-to-park Universal Orlando tickets valid for admission to Universal Studios and Universal Islands of Adventure theme parks, general parking pass, and a $25 Universal Orlando gift card.
Yeah, you'll get your $25 gift card when you meet with us that morning. It's this Saturday morning. We'll be live on the air here on Real Radio 104.1, but we're going to take a big photo with everybody. We'll give you your gift card then, and then some of us will go on rides with you and go to check out a bunch of different things there. Then we'll meet for lunch at the Monsters Cafe around 12:30, and then go do your own thing and meet up with me a little bit later on at Finnegan's Irish Bar. I'll be there posted up. So it should be a lot of fun. It's this coming Saturday.
And those are the prizes in today's prize pinata.
Thanks, Angel. 407-916-1041. Steve from Orlando, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Steve?
Good, Russ. How you doing?
I'm great. What do you want to win? Let me guess.
Universe, I'm raising 2 granddaughters right now, so I'd love to win them.
I'd love to see you win them, buddy. All
good
right, here we
you,
go.
Man. Good for you.
Here's your trivia question. If you get it right, then you can take a prize. If you don't get it, you've got one of the monsters that can help you. It's Dirty Jim or Angel or Carlos, okay?
Okay.
All right, name the celebrity that will bungee jump from a helicopter over the Grand Canyon. It will be broadcast live on September 25th, which is this celebrity's 50th birthday. What celebrity do you think is set up this gimmick where he's going to bungee jump over the Grand Canyon out of a helicopter live?
The only one I can think of is because you guys just talked about all his movies and he does his own stunts and everything. Tom Cruise
is not a bad guess, but I don't think that would be much of a thrill because he does it all the time.
Already,
you know?
I think he's already over 50.
I think he might be over 50, yeah, so it's not Tom Cruise. Who do you want to help you? You've got Dirty Jim, you've got Angel, and you got Carlos.
All right. Listening for murmurs of somebody knowing. Let's go with Carlos.
Carlos!
Hey,
have you murmured? I didn't hear a murmur out of you. Name the celebrity that will bungee jump from a helicopter over the Grand Canyon. It'll be broadcast live on September 25th. That's this celebrity's 50th birthday. I think I'm going to have to watch this, to be honest with you.
Wow.
And it's a big celebrity. This is not a little celebrity.
It seems zany.
It does. I mean, it
yeah,
it's right? So weird.
It is. It is. And when you hear who it is, you're like, oh, well, that's weird. But I know why.
All right. Man, this is a tough one.
He's 50.
He's 50. I know, but people that are 50 these days.
No, I just cut your. I just cut it in half because I said he's 50.
I know, but this is so not
and
something.
He did that without even any prompting from you. Well, that's how amazing that is. As soon as you start talking, Carlos, he can't help but to give you.
But this doesn't seem like a... women are smart. They don't do stupid things like this.
Okay.
So, how... I know, I'm working them, man. I want your grandkids to go. I know that's got to be tough. I mean, how long have you been watching them for?
It's going on my 4th year.
4 years, Russ.
Should bring them skating on skating night.
Yeah, please. August 10th. Please come out. How about this? Who the hell's turning 50, man? I don't know. Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx is not a bad guess. It's not him, though. 407-916-1041. How do you pronounce that?
Talana.
Talana. Talana from Palm Bay. Hi, Talana. How you doing?
Hello. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Great. If you win, what prize do you want to take with you?
I think I want to do Universal.
Okay, I'm sure you do. All right. Name the celebrity that will bungee jump from a helicopter over the Grand Canyon live. He's going to do this on September 25th, which is his 50th birthday.
I heard something about this on the radio, actually, and I do believe it's Will Smith.
It is Will Smith. That is the answer. You got it right. That. Let me put you on hold.
He's been talking about that on his Instagram feed.
I should have guessed that.
Yeah.
I should have guessed that. That was stupid of me.
If you're not on Instagram, for whatever reasons, you can have your own... But if you were looking for the most entertaining Instagram feed that's out there right now, it's Will Smith.
Yeah, no doubt, and I should have guessed that. Stupid me. Sorry, dude, who I lost for.
That's okay. But, yeah, it's Will Smith, which is kind of, you know, it is kind of zany. You don't think of him doing it. But you told me that he's now making an extra effort to post more and to get out there a little bit more because he's kind of been passed up by The Rock and by Vin Diesel and a lot of these people that are on their social media more. So now Will Smith's starting to invent
things. Well, you got to... He did an interview a couple weeks ago with a couple hip-hop writers, and it was amazing the viewpoint that he's coming from.
Yeah.
In his world, what he feels that the social media and what it's become is that it's a beacon of honesty. Like, if you're out there faking, the social media is going to push you to be honest and truth, and they'll call you out. And he loves that. One of the neat things that he did this past weekend with his wife and the family, they went on this hike up on the side of a volcano.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So he's doing all these things, and for himself, it seems like for a search of balance and truth, which is pretty neat.
I think that is true, but I also think he saw Kevin Hart and The Rock crushing him in box office and crushing him in overall following, and he's sitting back doing zero. He was doing zero social media, and then he really created this awesome social media team, and he's crushing it on YouTube and on Instagram right now. I should have guessed that. That pisses me off. I didn't get that.
I would have. You could have given me 30 guesses, and I would have never guessed.
Shame
that.
Shame on me.
It's so corny. You know, it's just kind of corny, isn't it?
Really?
Isn't it kind of Evel Knievel?
You
gotta
see his videos. No, you gotta see his videos. He's not doing it for an action like look badass. He's probably gonna put funny music to it. He makes fun of himself. It's
almost like he's on this quest kind of thing, Jimmy. And so he's doing these kind of things and not saying no because of being afraid. Like I said, him and the family, I mean, that's Jada and the kids and everything. They just went and hiked up the side of a volcano.
Right.
It's a different kind of even though it is a stunt, it's not a gimmicky thing for him. He's some kind of quest. It seems like it's driving him nowadays.
Comes off like Circus of the Stars to me. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like, remember this guy from Love Boat? This guy's going to dangle himself from a chopper.
Have you seen any of his videos?
No, I haven't. Just the sound of it sounds corny to me.
Hey, when the lady, the first gentleman, I'm sorry, when he said Tom Cruise, I was almost going to give the hint of, this celebrity is as big of a star as Tom Cruise. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely. No. Absolutely.
It would not.
You don't think Will Smith is as big of a star as Tom Cruise?
I do not.
Purely right now, because of his Instagram and social media following, he is bigger than Tom Cruise.
Really?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Will Smith is on another level than Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise's image and everything took a massive hit. Will Smith has never gone through that.
But almost seems like Will Smith has taken a break for...
a long time.
About a decade.
All right, what's the box office this week?
Oh, this week it was number one was
his movie.
It was his movie. Yeah. It was Tom Cruise.
When's the last time that happened for Will Smith?
I don't know, probably 2 or 3 years ago or something.
Dude.
But he's producing major shows. It right now, I still think Will Smith is he garners more attention, and attention right now is social media. It just is. People who are walking around and talking about people, it's social media.
And being a big star, it does seem weird that he would do a stunt where he's jumping out of a helicopter over the Grand Canyon. You know, yeah. Why does Will Smith have to do that?
He just did the Shiggy challenge on top of a tower in Russia, where Drake said he wanted. Why is he doing that? Because he knows. That's where the eyes are.
Yeah.
That's where the attention is. If you have no following on social media, you have no following right now. It's just the way it is. And Tom Cruise, while being a badass movie star, and more of a movie star, Jimmy, I'll give you this. He's more of a movie star, but nobody really knows him.
To me, that's what I believe makes you more of a star, is the idea of that. Because let's face it, some of the biggest stars in the world aren't really active on Instagram. I mean, well, I say some of the stars from back in the day that are considered the greats aren't really. Well, Nicholson, Harrison Ford, guys like
they're
that.
They're like 90 years old, yeah, but, dude. They're not going to be doing any of that stuff.
But what I'm saying is they still are actively the biggest stars that we know as.
Even like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Does not do it.
He doesn't.
Yeah, I don't necessarily buy the social media thing as part of being a gigantic star. I really don't. I think it's segmented for age groups. I think that makes him super popular with a certain age group. When it comes to movie star and star, the way that people from, let's say, 25 to 54, just what numbers that we deal with, I think that in that way, in that age group, Tom Cruise is still a much bigger star.
Hey, no,
I think he just has a more of a legend to him than Will Smith.
Now, one of the guys from Keenan Peele, Peele has something to do with this too, right? Is that what, or is that just a movie they're working on, or a TV show they're working on together?
Probably working on together.
Yeah. I think he's going to be a part of this stunt for jumping out of a helicopter from a bungee cord. I would not do that, just so you know.
I know. And
no bungee jumping for me.
And here's the thing, I'm guilty of it, right? So I get caught up and I call it a stunt, and if I go out and do this and bungee jump off of a bridge, would it be considered a stunt or an activity?
If you put it on your social media,
even if I put it on social media, if a regular person goes out and bungee jumps off of a bridge, right?
They're probably going to film it and put it on their social media.
No, but I'm saying, would you guys call me saying that I'm doing a stunt?
Because I probably wouldn't use that word. It's weird.
Right,
yeah, you're right.
If you use the word stunt, then you instantly go stunt, gimmicky. Oh, he's doing this for attention.
Yeah.
And if you've been following him for the last few months since he started really ramping up the Instagram and stuff. It's not what he's doing.
No.
It's like almost to say that it's almost a false narrative of what he's doing because it's really, he is on, for lack of a better term, almost like a mission quest kind of thing.
He's
on everything. Then why put it on TV? I don't understand.
Because he's trying to,
he's doing it for attention. I mean,
he's a teacher. He's a guy who likes to motivate people. He's done everything.
He's looking for engagement.
He's achieved the highest levels of success, stuff that we could only dream about,
yeah,
100%. Stuff that we've only seen. So at that point, what do? Do you turn into Eddie Murphy where you go into your house and you never show anybody anything? Or do you actually have this awakening where you're showing people your life? He's afraid of heights. He talked about his jumping out of a plane and it being the most thing that it's actually a very famous video now of him talking about jumping out of a plane. So I'm assuming this is the next kind of phase for him. It's not about getting so many likes. It's on a bigger level. I agree with you, Angel.
Yeah, but the thing is with the Eddie Murphy thing, and this is just how I look at it. Still, when you look at when you still talk about comedy, Eddie Murphy is on the Rushmore.
Right.
I mean, so he could go and hide and do whatever he wants. He will always be the legend Eddie Murphy. Even though he did the donkey cartoon voice, he's Eddie effing Murphy. You know, it doesn't really, none of that being non-existent on social media doesn't take away from your legend. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's for comedians. I think right now, mainstream, a lot of people don't know who Eddie Murphy is.
All right, you're listening to The Monster of the Morning. Very soon, it's going to be August the 10th, 7 o'clock at night. It's going to be the Monster Back to School Skate Party. If you've never been skating, it'll be a fun thing to do. If you used to love skating, come on out with us. And this is one of the few things where it's all for the entire family can join us. And that is going to be on August 10th, and it's out at... what's the name of the skating place?
Astro Skate.
I had it written down.
It's an Astro Skate and Goldenrod. I got some people hitting me up saying, hey, what if I've never skated before? Come on out. You'll be able to walk around. They got video games. They got food. They got people, and bring the school supplies. And you will have a fun time. I got a feeling this is going to be very big, Rusty Ray.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we are asking you to bring school supplies to donate to a gift for teaching, and it's going to be a big time, so you know, join us for that day. It's a great, you know, one of the very few times we're doing something for the entire family at Real Radio 104.1. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Oh, I've got the final tally for the best villain of all time, best villain actor of all time, and it's Alan Rickman up against Anthony Hopkins. Who do you think won?
I mean, I have to go with Anthony Hopkins.
You think Anthony Hopkins? Who do you think won, Carlos?
I'll go Alan Rickman.
What do you think, Angel? Who do you think won?
I got to go with my guy, Alan.
No, man. By almost 25 votes, it was the winner, or the best villain actor of all time, Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins.
And that's just how big of a deal Hannibal Lecter's character, that character of Hannibal Lecter was.
Yeah, because that's only villain role I can think of him in.
Which flies in the face of what this whole damn thing was about in the very beginning.
I know. 100%. I know.
All right.
Yeah.
And you guys argued with me
Anthony
on the
Hopkins?
Day of.
Anthony Hopkins was flying in the face of?
No. The idea was, what actor, every role he takes, he's great at being a villain.
Right.
And what people did was they picked their favorite villain role.
Right,
even though we explained it a billion times,
right. You
know, the audience sometimes doesn't understand.
You know what? He's played villains more stuff. I think Freddy Krueger would have been like that. It's just the one major villain role.
There was one of those in our contest.
I think Alan Rickman probably has played more villains, but the problem is Hannibal Lecter. It was such a massive impact on how you looked at the bad guy. Here's a well-educated, well-versed, you know, proper gentleman of a man who is an artist, a thespian, and he's also a psychotic murderer, cannibal, you know? So he's the worst of the worst wrapped up in what looks to be like the most proper package, you know? That's what made him so devious, you know?
Yeah, he was good at it. I saw a movie this weekend that is not something normally I would watch, but I'm like, I'll give it a try, whatever. It's called Molly's Game.
I've heard a couple people tell me about that movie.
It's about Molly Bloom, and she's a real lady, and she would run these card games in Hollywood at first with some big stars. Now, they don't tell you the name of the big stars.
They
let you know, listen, we're not telling you on purpose, but if you go on the internet, you can look it up, and it's like Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
Tobey Maguire.
And all
James
these guys
Woods.
Were
I mean,
really
giant.
Yeah, giant stars, and they were playing for like thousands of dollars.
Tens of thousands,
hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's her story, and then how she her game got closed down in L.A., and then she moved to New York, and she was arrested by the FBI. And it's all a true story.
Yep.
Really good movie. I didn't know what to expect, but interesting all the way through. And when you go through and you fact check to say, okay, how much of this was real, it's like, oh, that's exactly what they said in the movie. You know, so pretty interesting.
I remember reading about that story quite a bit. I knew they were making a movie about it. I haven't seen the movie, but the one thing I remember is that they did not paint Tobey Maguire in a really positive light. They said that he was, that just from her perspective, you have to understand, you know, wasn't a good tipper, was very curt, was all business, and was really, from what I understand, neurotic about getting busted doing this.
That may be. They did not cover that in the film itself. They left all the celebrities like a mystery. Like, you got to look it up on yourself on the internet if you want to figure it out. But it was very interesting to see. Because you can see there are people that have so much money, they don't know what to do. And the way they painted these guys, like, look, they just needed friends.
And she was a concierge and basically allowed them a private space where they could do something cool and not get hassled by anybody, right? That's pretty much the deal.
Yeah, they were just lonely. Only guys, but with hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they would just bet it up.
I mean, who are you friends with if you aren't friends with other stars? I mean, who could you possibly be a friend with? I mean, could you have normal? I say normal. Could you have people who aren't in that business as friends if you are this global megastar like a Matt Damon or a Tobey Maguire or Ben Affleck or any of that? I mean, could you really have a friend that can come over and hang out with you?
Yeah,
that doesn't have to go through clearance. You don't have to worry about telling everything you do at your home. I mean, you have to have them sign an NDA.
Jimmy, I see that, right? But then there's other celebrities that are able to navigate that and not get and not come off like jerks. You know, it's not like not every Hollywood star or starlet succumbs to that. So is that because of the way that they're wired, or is that because of the people that they have around them that you buy into your own fame and then you're like, oh, because Tobey Maguire, come on. Like, I mean, look, the guy's done some cool things.
He's
done some cool.
He was Spider-Man.
Yeah, I mean, he was Spider-Man. He's done some cool things, but there's no need for him to be that big of a jerk.
I mean, and she just said he was, I mean, from what I understand, he was, he did not tip that well and was extremely neurotic about getting busted doing the gambling thing, was really, really hyper neurotic about them saying where, if he was there or not there or whatever. And he's played in the World Series, I believe.
Right, but look at
all
the,
of them have.
Look at the level of this particular guy. I'm going to call him out because at one point he was Hollywood star, you know, their darling. He was in a bunch of stuff. And then it's his personal life. He gets caught up in a other poker game with the one comic that's been in here.
Who was it? You're right.
The kid from Save the Bell. Saved by the Bell.
Dustin Diamond?
He was caught in that ring because Dustin Diamond is the one that released the you know, quote-unquote sex video. Tobey Maguire, some really unflattering things come out about him in that ring of that. And then you got this other story.
Right.
And now he can't get cast for anything.
Hey, Jim, you know what you said about that he didn't want his name mentioned. This is in the movie, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, so I'm not going to blow it for you. But in the movie, they show that when she moves to New York, there's a famous baseball player that goes to these, and she says, listen, you never say his name. You write it on a napkin, and then after you show the napkin, you put it in a glass of water to make sure it's totally gone. And like that's the way it has to work.
Who it was?
I won't tell you, but
say who it is.
I can tell you during the break. Everybody's gonna freak out.
And for the record, I mean, you know, there are standing games in Vegas. One in a place called Bobby's Room, I believe it's at the Bellagio.
Yeah.
Where guys play for money that they could write it. I mean, these stars, I mean, you pay attention to it because they're movie stars. But there are games that go on in Vegas all the time where the stakes are way bigger than those guys would want to be a part of. I mean, there are running games there where the blinds are, 50, 100,000. That means every hand could be anywhere from $2 to $7 million. And that's on a daily basis. There are ballers, whales, who come into this country all the time to play high-stakes poker games.
And
that would make those guys they wouldn't even step in the room while it was being played. Real money. I mean, billionaire money. Not that pissant $100 million money.
They showed there were guys they would invite that they knew had billions of dollars and did not know how to play poker, and these celebrities were just taking their money.
That's part of the story. Was this night where a really large amount of money exchanges hands, and
Rounders? Is this basically Rounders?
It's kind of Rounders, but it's like, so this chick gets brought. She comes to Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
Becomes friends with Tobey Maguire. Tobey Maguire is interested in starting this private poker game, right?
Yeah.
And so between the two of them, they start recruiting everybody.
Okay.
So you got your Ben Affleck. You got your Matt Damon, Macaulay Culkin, DiCaprio. You got all these guys, the athlete in question.
Yeah.
They start, bringing all this money. The trouble comes is when the kick down to the house, Tobey Maguire thinks that should be going to him as opposed to her because she's the one that's coordinating the game. And then she goes out to start her own game. And, Mr. Tobey Maguire might be a rat.
Oh,
and he steals the game so that she's got to go to New York.
Yeah.
And you know what was the – now, this was her, from her perspective or whatever. She would not give up any of the names. And they were going to throw her in jail. And she's like, the only thing I have is my good name. I'm not going to give up any of the names.
And she went to jail.
And she pleaded guilty.
You're giving us
no, but this is in the news. This is all in the news. Yeah. anyway, you got to watch it.
Oh,
good.
Carlos got you, yeah.
It's super interesting, though.
When can I get Russ to spoil it?
It was one of those things I didn't think I was going to like the movie, and as I'm going through, I'm like, oh, wow, because I like the fact that it was real. And she was actually, they start off with showing she was an Olympic athlete, and she got almost fourth or something in the Olympics, which the worst.
What happened in the middle of the movie?
I'm not telling you.
So there's a book written, and I wish I could remember the name of it, but one of the first books I read when I started playing cards and taking it seriously, and, it was like, man, this is fun.
Yeah.
Love the idea of the game. And it's about this investment banker who made tons and tons of money, and he swore to himself, he goes, well, there's no reason I can't. It's just a card game. There's no reason I can't play
figure
at that level.
Yeah.
So what he did was he set up this game to play against the best players in the world, heads up. In other words, you against me. Professional dealer and blah, blah, just to find out if I studied and played and played and played and did the 10,000 hour thing, if I could beat a pro. How do you think it worked out?
Probably not that well.
He lost $33 million.
Oh, really?
And there was a series
because there is skill to
poker, he rented a room in one of the big hotels. They blacked out everything. They put a light up, and a guy's named Howard Lederer and a number of other players, a girl, female players as well. I think Annie Duke was part of it, but I don't want to put her there if she wasn't, but because it's been a while since I read it. But basically, he went in and learned that there's way more than just luck. There is a massive way you play this game that has to do with perception of you.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the cards, even. I can just play the perception of how you move around while you're playing, and he proved it over, and the guy wound up losing $30 million.
And that's the legal argument, is it's not a game of chance, it's a game of skill. So, you know, it's illegal to bet on games of chance,
right?
But this is arguably a game of skill, and that's part of it. The name of the movie I'm talking about, by the way, it's called Molly's Game. It's something that I know was out in the movie theater, and the lead actress, I forget her name now, but she was nominated, I believe, for an Academy Award.
Chastain.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it was directed,
really?
Yeah, it was directed by Aaron Sorkin.
Yes.
It came out this past December.
Yeah.
It's a genuinely a pretty interesting. The book was really good. I think it was a New York Times bestseller, the book about this. And then Aaron jumped on and directed it.
She's a monster. That chick is a monster.
She was great
monster.
In this. And I would say this is a sleeper movie, one that most people didn't see. But if you're looking for something cool to watch at home or whatever, it's pretty interesting. If you go back and check it all out, it's amazingly a true story.
Yeah. And then people are questioning, oh, well, you know, Macaulay Culkin, he's all messed up. There's no way he's playing high stakes poker. Understand, this is going back in 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
Because she got busted in 2014. So this is a few years ago. This just didn't happen like last week.
Correct. Yeah. you know, it's also when it was Kevin Costner. And he plays a really good grumpy old man.
You know,
he's a good grumpy old man.
Hey, he's casting a bunch of stuff like that right now. The Paramount Network.
It's called, somebody just told Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Somebody just told me, hey, watch Yellowstone. It's great. And it's got Costner in. He's really, really good in it.
I forgot I like him. He's pretty good.
Started watching Orange is the New Black this weekend.
It came out this weekend.
Six episodes in. Remember, I absolutely loathed.
The last season.
Last season was so bad.
I agree. I even stopped watching it.
It was so bad, it actually made me not want to watch this season. They got me again. This season's good.
Back on.
They've introduced some new characters and some other storylines that are really, really intriguing, and six episodes in, I wonder how I'm six episodes in. It was really that seamless.
Oh, good. Well, that's good.
So check it out. If you haven't watched Orange is the New Black, the new season is very fun.
All right, you're listening to the Mantra of the Morning.
Orlando City returns home to host the New England Revolution this Saturday. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. on our sister station, FM 96.9, The Game, AM 740, and iHeartRadio. From the
Thanks for listening to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. We're excited to be at Universal Studios this week. Friday morning, we'll be live at Universal Studios. That's this coming Friday. And then also Saturday morning, we'll be live at Universal Studios Orlando. And that's for the Monster Fan Appreciation Show. We hope you can join us. If you don't win tickets from us this week, and you have an opportunity all week. I mean, you have an opportunity today at 9 o'clock if you go and check for the Daily Five. If your name is up there, then you can win those tickets. All week long, you'll have an opportunity to win those tickets. But if you don't win the tickets and you just want to join us that day and you've got passes to go to Universal, you just want to, you know, come to Universal, you can do that and be a part of our group. We're going to go ride rides together, go check out some of those, the Monster Makeup Show, which I know is a lot of fun. Go to lunch at the Monster Cafe. And then I'll probably end up at the Finnegan's bar, the Irish bar that's in there. But it'll be a great time, and it's this coming Saturday, and it's Universal Studios Orlando. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. So now, we've talked about this before, and like I do realize that sometimes things make the news, and they are totally created by the internet.
By three people?
By three people, but it looks like it's headline news, so it looks like it's a big deal. This would fall into the category of that, I'm sure, but this somehow is getting legs because it's in all of my overnight prep services, like it's a big deal, and then when you read it, you're like, this is stupid. But anyway, they say there's a push to reunite Nirvana, and there are thousands of people that are calling for this guy to be the lead singer. Who do you think in this made up internet stupid story. Do you think they're saying thousands of people are pushing for this guy to be the new lead singer of Nirvana and have them get together? I think it'd be some sort of a reunion, like is it 20-year reunion or something, or 20-year anniversary?
They broke in 91, didn't they? 91, 92, 93, somewhere along in there.
Yeah, it's got to be 25, I think.
25-year, maybe. It's some anniversary gig. And they're pushing for this guy. They say he'd be the perfect lead singer.
There's
got
to be a gimmick to this because you're laughing your ass off.
I am laughing my ass off because it's obviously made just to be polarizing. You know, like if I was going to make something up to get attention, this is exactly what I would say. But who do you think they're pushing to be the lead singer of Nirvana for the anniversary concert?
I'll go off the deep end and say David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth, not a bad guess. This person is younger than that.
All right, so it isn't a Kiss guy then.
It is not a Kiss guy. No.
That's what I was going with. That's my theory.
Ah, yeah. Man, I don't
younger.
Know. Is it a singer? Is he a singer already, or is he an actor?
He's a singer for a band that is controversial.
Oh, please don't. No.
I know it is.
I can't stand this dude. If it's Jared Leto, I am.
It is not Jared Leto.
Okay, I love Jared Leto.
Probably more controversial though than Jared Leto.
Really?
Yeah, he gets more hate than Jared Leto.
Oh, more hate.
I saw the petition. I actually signed it.
Did you sign the petition?
It's Little Yachty.
It is not Little Yachty.
Yes, that's
no,
super
Little Yachty, and I think he has the flow, the look, the sound of Kurt.
It's thousands and thousands of people. It says have signed a petition to have Nirvana.
Narrow it down, because I don't want to just know.
Okay. Narrow it down. I see.
Is it the band Relevant? The band that he's in now Relevant?
Very relevant. A bunch of hits.
Adam Levine.
Adam Levine is incorrect. Less cool.
Did the person come from a reality show?
The person did not come from a reality show. The person, though, has been married to another rock star. The person is a name that people know. I think he could do it and sound great, but just because of who he is, this will never fly.
Man, well, what band is...
Oh, who's the most hated band in the world?
Is it the dude from Nickelback?
Oh, Nickelback.
Oh, my God.
Chad Kroger. Yeah. The thousands of people want Nirvana. Nirvana to
When
Nirvana.
You say thousands of people, you mean Canadians.
No. That's the absolute perfect person to put in that. Because I mean, Nirvana was everything anti-everything.
Right.
And that guy is like
the polar opposite.
He is stadium rock god.
Now, listen, you go and you read the headline. Thousands of people are pulling for Chad Kroger to be the new lead singer.
It's 20 Canadians, right?
It's 4,100 people. Have signed a petition, you know, and they've already set a date for it. They've set the date in England. Let's see here. New Year's Eve 2019, and they're saying that they're wanting this to go viral and for it to come together for Chad Kroger to
see,
be.
See, this is what happens
David,
when
Dave
you get.
Grohl would never do it.
Yeah, this is what happens when you have a little girl who loves a particular song and then goes on a Twitter campaign, and then the band that she loves goes and covers the song. Now fans think that they can social media pressure people to do these bizarre things.
I don't even think Chris Novoselic plays music anymore, does he?
He's got like a little garage band that he does.
Does he? Because, I mean, he would have the opportunity, theoretically, he would have the opportunity to play with Dave Grohl whenever he wants. And I know occasionally, if you get lucky, he'll drop in on a Foo Fighters show and they'll play for fun. They're still friends, I guess. But Novoselic was like one of the guys that was out. He was the bass player.
Right.
Dave
Grohl was
there.
The drummer, right?
Yeah, Grohl was the drummer for Nirvana. And Dave Grohl would never do that.
Yeah.
In a million years. I can't imagine that Dave Grohl, as cool as he is, would ever sit behind a kid and look at the ass of Chad Kroger singing Smells Like Teen Spirit. Give me a break, dude.
It says here, it seems that people just can't stop talking about this.
Who could, though? Who could honestly like Chris Cornell when he was alive maybe could have done that just because he embodied everything.
In area, too, buddy, because they both come from that area.
That's it right there. That's going to be the crux of this, where you're going to get something that is, like, let's say, quote-unquote, sanctioned by the fans.
Eddie Vedder,
it's got to be somebody that's connected to Seattle, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? The
last guy that's standing as the lead singer is Eddie.
Yep, that's it. Everybody else out there is dead. Lane's dead.
Yeah,
Chris is dead.
Yeah.
Kurt's dead.
Damn.
Is the guy who sings from Mud Honey still alive?
I don't even know. I think he might be. Yeah.
Mud Honey, I think, is Screaming Trees,
that
guy?
Maybe, yeah. Oh, but here's for example, so Weezer, and again, this is going on the pressure that you can put on social media. So Weezer does a cover of Africa because of a fan, right? So, and it becomes...
And it's a great cover.
It's a great rendition.
It's a really good cover.
A real good cover and everything, right? So what does Toto do? who I didn't even realize they were still a band.
What they do?
So they're going to do a cover.
Sweater.
They're going to do a cover of one of Weezer's iconic songs.
Say It Into.
They're going to do Hash Pipe.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah, that's what they said. So I'm curious. Now I'm curious. Yeah,
I would love to hear it. I love Hash Pipe, and I'm sure they can put a different spin on it.
Toto has to be thrilled that anyone even remembers their name. Yeah. Like, you know, because it's been a long time.
Been a hot minute. I think those guys still tour, though. They do the cruise ship circuit, right?
Yeah,
like along with bands like Kansas and Yes.
On social media over the weekend, I saw a lot of people went to the Cyndi Lauper, Rod Stewart show.
My wife went.
Oh, what'd she say?
That was Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was about the best 45 minutes she ever spent at a concert.
Oh.
Yeah, she said it was pretty bad.
Which part?
Cyndi Lauper in particular, because she wasn't hitting. She said she sounded okay a couple other songs, but then she started tripping out, like rolling around on the stage with the mic, and is going on this massive, political rant over and over and over, and apparently it did not sit well with a lot. They had bad seats.
Yeah.
So it was like one of those things where she could actually hear people around her going, "My God, man, just shut up and sing. We're tired of it already." And then she saw a few songs from Rod, and they just got out.
So they're not big Rod Stewart fans.
It was my wife's very first show, and a friend of hers bought the tickets a while back and said, "Hey, do you want to go?" And then she was up for it. And then you ever do that when you buy tickets way in advance and it hits just at a time in your life where you just don't want to do anything or you just don't feel like going out? It just hits on that one day. You're like, "Damn, I wish this was tomorrow."
I think
it hit on one of those days.
Thursday nights are hard sometimes. But so did Rod sound good or she didn't?
Yeah, she's okay. I mean, he's 70.
That's the worst. Rod Stewart. If I knew the words.
And his range is not so big that he can't pull it off he was never known for ripping giant notes, right?
No, it was just kind of the
songs, you know?
Well, and he's got an unusual voice. It's
real only, raspy.
Yeah, the raspy Rod Stewart thing.
It's Ewok Rod Stewart.
There are a lot of people went. Like I saw, good reviews.
Packed.
But
she said it was packed. I mean, it was a good show.
Yeah. All right. 407-916-1041. When we come back, it's the six things you knew we'd talk about. Six stories from over the weekend. You knew we'd bring it up. You knew we'd talk about it. If you get it right, we'll give you a prize from the prize pinata. The telephone number to dial is 1-888-978-1041. Or if you just want to call and tell us something or correct us with something we might have said wrong, which happens a lot, you can do that as well. We'll take your phone calls when we come back. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
And hope and totally ignorant of reality.
That's how a man's supposed to talk to a woman when he's being sexy.
Radio 104.1 from Rio.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Monster of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. Happy Monday to you. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos, all here on this beautiful Monday. And we'll take your phone calls now. The telephone number to dial is 1-888-978-1041, or locally it's 407-916-1041. Six things you knew we'd talk about. If you can guess one of the six things, we'll give you a prize from the prize pinata. I know there's still a lot of stuff in there. And remember, at 9 o'clock in 1 hour, you go to our website at monsters.fm and look for the Daily Five. If your name is one of the names of the Daily Five, then we have a pair of tickets for you to join us this Saturday at Universal Studios Orlando. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. It's the Monster Fan Appreciation Show, and I know there's a lot of people that want those tickets. I gotta get with Amanda and see, or a blog at Molly, and see how many tickets are left. I know we've given away plenty, but I want to thank Universal Studios Orlando for giving us 100 tickets to give out to listeners, which is a lot. They've never done that before, and I really appreciate them doing it. 407-916-1041. Hey, Bob, you're on Real Radio. How you doing, Bob?
Good. How are you this morning?
Good, buddy. What'd you call to guess?
Well, I'm pretty sure you guys are going to be talking. The biggest story of the weekend, of course, is the Carrington event. It happened in 1859, where a massive solar flare hit this planet. In today's terms, that solar flare would render our grid completely useless. We would have an apocalypse like you've never seen before. But yet, our Congress and everybody else doesn't want to do anything about it. They could spend a fraction, just a tiny fraction, of what we spend on wars killing people to protect our families. But no, that would just be too darn smart. So I'm sure you're going to be talking about that in great detail today, right?
I've never even heard of it, sir. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Love your fire, though.
I like the fact that you came with, I mean, you've got passion behind your voice, which is great.
I'm with you, man.
The Carrington effect, I've never heard of it. Is it a solar flare from the sun?
Yeah, it's a massive solar flare. We could have it from the sun at any given time. We're completely overdue. And what that would do to our massive transformers, because our grid is mostly centralized with big transformers running most of the power throughout, it would completely render it useless.
Huh. I have seen.
And as Alex Jones, as I like to get with it, I really have to tell you, this is a serious thing that was presented to Congress. And Congress basically came back and said, you know what? Yeah, this is a real issue. We should really be concerned about this. And yes, we could build Faraday cages around the grid to protect it, but we're just not going to do it.
So you would build a cage around what? Around
the transformers?
The transformers?
Around the transformer, yeah. They have Faraday cages that would block out the EMP from hitting it. So, rather than being reactive with FEMA and having people go to FEMA camps,
right,
and eat their cousins, we could just protect the grid.
Has anything comparable like that happened before? I mean, obviously no solar flare that knocked out all our,
you'll
grids.
Remember in Ocean's 11 they did it.
But like, has anything, like, I know you're saying it's long overdue, but has,
when's the last time it happened,
anything come close?
1859, the yeah. Carrington event was a recorded event that the size of which, because back then there was no grid, right? But in today's terms, that alone would have rendered the grid useless.
That's interesting, man. I'll look into it, dude.
For sure.
Thanks for sharing that.
I gotta tell you what, I love your passion. I don't know if what you said is true or not, but I'm gonna give you a prize because it sounded really good. All right, very good.
That's funny. No, I'm not.
It's coming up on its anniversary as well, because it happened September 1st and 2nd of 1859. It's kind of weird, though. How would they even know?
Yeah.
That's cool, though. I like learning about new stuff like that.
Give that cat a prize. He
hung up.
Then he gets no prize then. 407-916-1041.
There's a movie about it.
Mark, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Mark?
Good. How are you this morning, Russ?
Good, buddy.
We had a tragic loss of a Russian wrestler this weekend, Ivan,
It was Nikolai Volkov, who ironically was Canadian, but he played a Russian for years back when it was not cool to be Russian.
Is that the most wrestling thing of all time, to have a Russian played by a Canadian?
Yeah. And it was him and the Iron Sheik. They were tag team partners for years, and that's back when America really hated the Russians.
He used to sing the Russian national anthem.
Yes.
Every time he'd get up and play.
He would get up and he would sing the Russian national anthem in the middle of like Memphis, Tennessee, and all these, and people would throw stuff at him. He had death threats and all kinds of crazy stuff.
The Cold War days.
This guy, he's 70 years old. He passed away. I know people that have met him and talked to him, and they say one of the sweetest guys you ever want to meet.
Donald Trump is going to be upset. That was his favorite wrestler.
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
Nikolai Volkov. Who passed this weekend. He was 70 years old, and he was part of that tag team thing with the Iron Sheik in the 80s.
The Iron Sheik thing was the one I remember causing the most stir in my childhood. I mean, because it was right around the plane thing with Iran, right? The hostage, Iran hostage controversy thing?
Yeah, around the same time.
So around that same time as, I believe, when they launched that character, right? Because they wanted to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
And that's when people, like, that was death threat world where I was from. I mean, it was bad.
Well, no, and his character was kind of, I don't want to say stolen from, but I mean, he maybe borrowed a little bit from another guy who was Ivan Koloff, who did the same thing. And he was another guy who wasn't really Russian, but he would play a Russian because that's who people hated more than anything else. But, and then the other death from the WWE, there's two others. There's Nikolai Volkov, who passed away, and he's of old age. He was 70 years old. Then there's another guy named Brickhouse Brown, who died of cancer, who I'd never even heard of. But
that's the worst wrestling name I've ever heard of.
Brickhouse Brown?
That sounds like me after Kobe. I got to go to the bathroom and drop a Brickhouse Brown.
He was 57, and he died with his battle over cancer. But the one that's getting the headlines is WWE superstar. It's Brian Lawler, who is Jerry Lawler's son, and he hung himself while in jail.
We're not talking about a sentence in jail. He just gotten pulled over for running from the cops after a DUI. I mean, it was a manageable crime. I mean, he could have probably done some time, he'd been a little bit of time, paid a fine, done his thing, and been fine. He was really not that old. So it was 46?
46 years old, and he was pulled over on July the 7th. So we're into,
so he's been in there a little bit.
And then for a month, I can't drive you that crazy. And I mean, boy, I guess if you're... have depression and it looks like your world's coming to an end. But man,
I don't know. And the one thing I didn't notice about him and his career is like what he'd been up to until now, because his WWE days or WCW days have been long gone, long past. And I don't know that they ever created another character for him. And I didn't know if he was working behind the scenes in the organization at all. Because Jerry, of course, has had an illustrious career. It's bridged just wrestling. I mean, the guy's a multimedia, I don't know about superstar, but he's widely known in that business and respected in that business.
Yeah, he's well liked as well. But I don't remember much about his son, really.
Television appearances, of course. Andy Kaufman's thing brought his character even back to life when the movie hit. I know that cheers back, but still, it kept his name on the forefront a little bit.
You have to wonder. So that's why I always thought that I don't know what he hung himself with. It doesn't say. So they came into his cell and he was hanging. And they said they don't think foul play was involved. It was a suicide. But they don't put sheets on the beds, do they, in jail?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think, what could you get hold of in jail to hang yourself?
Your own clothing.
Oh.
A sock, I guess. I don't know. I mean, probably did not consider him a suicide risk, if you think about it. If he's already been in there for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Obviously he wasn't considered a suicide risk. Or maybe when he went in, he was, and they took him off of it because he'd shown them that the behavior was, rational.
Yeah.
And then it was only irrational for a few minutes.
Man, you take a lot of hits on the head, man, when you're wrestling. CTE comes into play. I mean, the football, if all football players basically have it, then you sure as hell know wrestlers have it and at crazy-ass levels.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, and
that's
what
it shows. Those erratic decisions in times of trouble or strife, they do stupid, crazy-ass stuff. I mean, we all do to a certain level, but when your brain's
been beaten, professional wrestler, I know everyone knows that it's scripted, and people like say, "Oh, it's fake." But guys, when you hit that mat, they call it taking a bump. When you hit that mat, everything jars. It still hurts, even though there's some give in the mat, hurts. And
it all hurts. It's all fake.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah, Ryan, you're on Real Radio 104.1.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, buddy.
What up? So I'd like to guess one of the six things.
Sure.
I'm going to guess the full moon, the eclipse, and the Mars this weekend.
And we talked about that last week, really. But yeah, you can still see Mars. I saw it this morning, pretty bright. And I guess you'll be able to see it tomorrow, and then it's kind of going to fizzle out. But it was beautiful over the weekend. But I didn't have that down to talk about today because we kind of had already spoken about it. But it was bright this morning, man. Bright and red.
Still didn't look.
You won't even look up. You can't even look up to see Mars.
Every face we've been talking about. Oh, man, I forgot. I'll check it tomorrow. Oh, man, I forgot. I'll check it tomorrow.
I know.
A whole weekend.
I know.
Oh, man, I still haven't checked
it out. I still haven't looked. And I've been out at those perfect times, and
well,
I just forget.
I put it on the website.
Oh, that's right.
If you want to see my video.
Maybe because of your amazing video. Footage,
I know.
I feel like I've been to the moon because of your awesome iPhone
footage. Did you get the call from Nat Geo?
Yeah, I did. Sir, we need your eye. What phone did you use that on?
Laugh all you want. It got a lot of hits, okay?
because we said how awful it was.
It's not awful. It's good. It's in my front yard. You can see the moon. You can see Mars. And if you didn't wake up early enough, then you can see it.
Yeah, old shaky hands Rollins.
Hey, not to stay on this real quick, but just to clear a couple things up. Brian Lawler had been arrested in 2009 for disorderly conduct. In 2009, he was arrested for public intoxication. He became belligerent. He was jailed for 30 days after failing to attend an inpatient treatment as part of his plea program. And of course, this latest incident, led to him taking his own life. Mm. And he had not been active in wrestling since 2014. They did a match where they came back together with, remember Rikishi?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, where you put the button in your face type thing.
He passed away too, didn't he?
Yeah. Old school edition of Raw, Rikishi, Scotty Too Hotty. By the way, just somebody texted in and said Scotty Too Hotty, his tag team partner, lives here in Orlando.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, and then they did a couple matches, but other than that, you know, it doesn't really say anything about his career since then. So, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the saddest conversations I happened to be in on only because I was back, Mark Mero had me come back to be his tag team partner at this thing that we did. It was Legends in Wrestling, but of course, I was nowhere near Legend. I was just there with Mark Mero, and I was wrestling that night, but I'm listening to the guy you just mentioned, not Scotty Too Hotty, but Buff Bagwell.
Yeah.
And Buff Bagwell, I guess his neck had been broken. He really couldn't wrestle as much anymore. And to sit and listen to him explain where his life has gone since he can't wrestle anymore and how sad he was and how depressed he was. And I'm like, oh my.
He became a gigolo, remember?
I think he did.
No, he did. I mean, yeah. He talked openly about it. He became like basically a date for hire for
that's right.
Whoever would get with him.
Man, and he was awesome. He was telling Mark everything, how horrible his life was, and it was sad. Because I mean, at one time, this dude was like super great looking.
Freaking Bagwell.
Bagwell, he had it all going on.
And he's a sweet guy. I mean, we met him a number of times. Actually, he called the show a couple of times and was always very, very cool.
Yeah.
But he was like super intense, though.
No, not this guy. Yeah.
You're thinking about the guy that was a real wrestler. And Kurt Angle.
That's Ruff Snagwell.
Buff was like always smiling in the ring,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was a happy guy.
Good looking dude, wore that crazy top hat thing. Yeah, Kurt Angle has no sense of humor.
Oh, Buff. Now I do. Yeah. Is he still around or he passed?
No, he's still alive.
Oh, good.
He's still alive.
I do remember the top hat, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, all right, when we come back, we'll do. We'll find out what happened in the box office. Also, we can take some more of your phone calls. The telephone number to dial is 1-888-978-1041. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. Hey, thanks for listening to The Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. We'll still take a couple more phone calls. Today is National Mutt Day. How many people have a mutt? It's to encourage you to embrace the beauty of a mutt. Celebrate the mixed breed of dog. They do this twice a year. So yeah.
Dude, it's so funny you bring that up.
Why?
Because I had a situation with a mutt thing this weekend.
What's a mutt thing?
So, it's just...
Ain't nothing but a mutt thing, baby.
Well, I posted a picture of my dog.
Which is a beautiful dog.
Thank you.
And I don't know if you've seen it, Jimmy, but it's one of these dogs. It's a Labradoodle.
Yeah.
And so you can cut their hair to make them... Well, they look like a lion.
Right.
It looks like a damn lion. It's really cool.
Right. And I was going to Home Depot with my dog, and I posted a little picture and put it up there, and it's a little picture, whatever. And you know, people are commenting. And,
yeah.
And one person... And the reason it annoyed me so much is because if... Let's say this wasn't a post. Let's say this person walked up to me at Home Depot instead.
And said
this exact thing.
Okay, what?
And walked up and said,
yeah.
Hey, I know you love your dog and all, but I hope you didn't spend a bunch of money on that mutt.
Yeah, that's when I start punching.
Exactly.
I just face punch it in.
Somebody, and look, this is nothing against mutts. Own plenty of mutts in my life. I know a Labradoodle is, by definition, a mutt.
Yeah.
I get it.
Right.
But...
That's just really rude.
People have they have these big balls when it comes to being online.
Yeah.
Nobody would say that to my face, not because I'm this big tough guy, because it's a rude thing to say.
It's really just out of
the way. And so it inspired me to it really showed people your lives are digital now.
Yeah.
And the things that you say will haunt you. And stupid things like that. You would never walk up to somebody holding their dog and say that straight to their face.
No.
Because it would make you a dick.
Right.
And that's what I wrote under it. I said, why would you? I've never seen this person in my life.
Yeah.
He randomly comments on my page at this one point in time where I'm obviously happy about my dog.
Right. Know? And to call it a mutt is I guess, you know.
Let me ask you a question, Lois. Is there any way, shape, or form in a different... Because I think what happens in social media age is context is always gone.
Without a doubt.
It's gone out the window. Is there a way that that could have been said? But they would have to be somebody familiar with you.
Have to be familiar.
Yeah, yeah, there's no, yeah you're right.
I've known Carlos since he was 18. I wouldn't say that to
him. No, no, you're right. Your assessment is right. This guy's a dick.
And it was in caps, never seen the person. It, like you said, it would be totally different.
Okay, let's try to clean up the sentence. I hope you didn't spend too much.
No, he said the beginning part was, I know you love your dog and all.
Okay, I know you love your dog. You love your dog.
That's douche.
I hope you got a good deal on a dog that's mixed breed.
That's worse.
That's great, Dave. This will be fun.
Let's see if Jimmy can clean it up, make it sound nice. See if you can take that sentence and make it sound nice.
Hey, man, that's an interesting-looking dog you have there. Is that mixed breed?
There you go, yeah.
Because if so, I hope you didn't pay full breed price.
and then at the end, it just dies, right? You were almost there, though.
Once you start calling into question how much money you spend on the animal, as if it matters.
Yeah, and you love your dog and all.
As a dude, right? As a dude, you don't talk about my mama.
Yeah.
You don't talk about my kids.
Yeah.
You don't talk about my wife. Yeah. And you don't talk about my dog.
I think John Wayne's in the same thing.
Okay, and here's the best part.
Yeah.
So I post a reply, like, dude, what a dick. Please explain yourself. Like, in any normal conversation.
I know you love your dog and all.
I know you love your dog and all.
Hope you didn't pay too much for that mutt.
I didn't spend a whole bunch. No.
Just told the truth.
Exactly. And then somebody writes under it. They're offended that I'm offended that somebody got about the mutt comment. All dogs are beautiful, Carlos.
Oh, my God.
Dogs
matter.
Oh, my God. I can't be upset. I can't genuinely be perturbed by a guy insulting me in my face.
And literally, all you do is post a picture of you and your dog going to the store.
Exactly. Like, here's my buddy going to Home Depot.
Which was an adorable picture, by the way.
Thank you.
So we're never going to get another picture of Carlos and his dog.
Exactly.
That's basically what this guy has ruined it for everybody else.
I'd be more offended if you took the dog to Home Depot.
Now, technically, I don't even think it's a mutt. Right? It's a mixed breed.
I don't know.
Mixed breed's a mutt?
It says, mixed breed dogs. Yeah. It's got to be more than like two breeds, all right? It's got to be like three, multiple for it to be a mutt.
Because a mutt would make a mutt.
Yeah. Is mutt an acronym?
You know, that's a good question.
I've been watching the Westminster Road to Westminster.
Do we have a winner? Is that why?
No.
You gotta run the mutt?
They say bitch like crazy in it, and it's awesome because they're like, this bitch really won. She was fantastic. This bitch had what it takes.
Because it's not men in it, yeah.
It's, yeah, and they use it, you know, like it's supposed to be used. But I don't hate mutts. Own plenty of mutts to the guy who was offended that he said, Carlos.
Some of my best friends are mutts, okay? I've known mutts for years.
Exactly. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
Mutt hater.
I love mutts.
According to Wikipedia, mutt is a mongrel dog, dog from unknown ancestry.
Yeah.
So apparently, if you know the mother and the father of the dog, and the mother is the Labrador and the father is the poodle or whatever, you know those two,
great people.
And they do the thing and then have the puppy, apparently that puppy is not a mutt.
That's not a mutt.
Because it's not unknown ancestry. You know exactly where the dog came from.
See? Oh, take that, random ass douche that jumped on my page and I don't even know and then unfriended me when I questioned him.
All right. On top of that, there are a number of celebrities in history that have had the nickname Mutt. Larry Black, Mutt Carey, Emmanuel Mutt Evans, Mutt Fowler, Robert Mutt Lang, of course we know him,
sure.
Andrew Shaw, Mutt Summers, Mutt Williams, and Mutt Wilson.
Yeah, all jazz blues players.
Or old baseball players from the Negro League. That's exactly what it is.
It's National Mutt Day, though. We're trying to get people to adopt the mutt.
I go adopt them. They're beautiful dogs. I have no problem with them.
Actually, we have mutts coming in later on this week.
We do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. What was that for?
That's the local, they've visited other shows in the building, but they're trying to increase the adoptions. I think it's Orange County.
Animal Services is what it is, because we had them on Friday.
Yeah.
And it is, I mean, it's just unbelievable how many animals they have available for adoption right now, and some of them as beautiful. They brought in two pit bull puppies, and actually, if you look on my Instagram page and some other stuff,
I saw them. They were really cute.
Well, the one has a perfect Mickey Mouse fur thing on the back of it.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Fur looks exact. Matter of fact, it's a she, and they changed her name in the studio that day to Minnie.
Is it Pet Alliance?
No, that's this one as well. It's Pet Adoption by Judy, I think, is one of them.
Yeah.
But they also work with Orange County Animal Services that adopts out there by the Mall of Millennia as well. But I believe all of our services that adopt are overrun with not only cats and puppies of all breeds. The common misconception they have to deal with, Russ, is that everybody just, when they get tired of pit bulls, they take them. And they do have a lot of what they call the bully breeds. But they do have other animals as well that you can pick up. And again, I will say this. My son has a pit bull that is the sweetest dog you ever, because he plays with him and he doesn't train him to be a moron.
Yeah.
He doesn't sick them or treat him poorly, and he's the sweetest dog ever.
I was talking to a buddy of mine this week, and he's had pit bulls. Of course, you know, when you're in God Almighty, don't start calling.
Oh,
but when you're in talk radio,
that's
one of those things. You talk about pit bulls, and you get half the people are mad as hell. Half people say, oh my God, they're a terrible breed. But this particular friend of mine, he's always had pit bulls. And he's like, Russ, I've never had one that is freaked out. I've never had one that's not been a great dog. And just, there are people that have them are passionate about them because they've had a you know experience with them where they love these dogs.
Amen. And they call Pitbull the talk show topic starter. Ready? My Pitbull's name is Rebel Flag. He loves Trump and he smokes medical marijuana.
And he has a gun.
And he's a big pro two guy.
Right, exactly.
Hey, choose life.
Yeah, we got
here legally.
OCAS, they're coming in on Wednesday with the dogs for adoption.
Cool, man.
Oh,
good.
Yeah.
Great awesome. People, man. Really, really good people.
Cool. 407-916-1041. Let's go to a Brandon, you're on Real Radio 104.1.
Yes, how you doing?
Hey, Brandon, how you doing?
I wanted to say that you guys were going to talk about the car wildfires.
No, you know what? I don't have that down to talk about. I know that it's it's horrible. Yeah. I saw this morning some of the news. And
oh, dude, there's one story. Have you seen the story with the grandpa? Yeah.
No, what's that?
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
Please, bring us down.
Grandkids and his wife and everything got burnt up.
Oh, jeez. Damn, this show has had a lot of deaths so far this
weird
morning.
Yeah.
It happens sometimes.
We gotta spin it around.
And they said there wasn't burning in Greece right now.
Greece.
It's like the first time I've ever heard of a wildfire in Europe.
Yeah.
But I guess Greece has a really bad one going on right now.
Yeah, it is.
It's a grease fire.
Only one.
Yep. There's a bunch of jokes. There's a bunch of jokes you can do there, but it's a lot of people died, and you know we wish them the best.
Yeah. The only way I know about it, they haven't been reporting. At least I haven't seen it on the national news here. But Kristen Giannis, who's on Fox 35, she just got back from Greece, and she has a bunch of video from it. And it looks horrible. Of course, the one in California, when they show where all the wildfires are, it looks like the entire state of California is on fire.
Yeah, they say it's an absolute horrifying situation out there. Like horrifying. I think 8 people dead already. Right?
Ah, man. Yeah. That's not the way you want to go.
Fire?
Yeah, it's definitely not the way you want to go.
Drowning in fire?
Oh, drowning, I heard, is not that bad.
Who told you?
What genius told you that story?
They've done studies of how the brain activates. I mean,
it probably shuts off.
Freezing to death is supposed to be the best because you just basically go to sleep. But burning is the one thing you can take, the solace of people burning to death is usually... Burning is after the fact. Most people die of smoke inhalation before they ever get burned.
So they don't feel the pain of
that's from what I understand, that's the case.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, you're on Real Radio 104.1.
Hey guys, how you doing this morning?
Hey brother, how you doing?
Mark, how you doing, bro?
Before I give you my guess, can I get that first caller and use my wake up alarm every morning?
He was great, right? He was good.
I-4 about half awake. I was going, holy crap. but anyway, I was going to talk about the box office numbers for the weekend.
Yeah, we always do that. We'll give you a prize from the prize pinata for guessing that one. Let me put you on hold, buddy. Thank you for calling.
Saw Equalizer 2.
Did you?
I went and saw it. I saw it yesterday. I actually ran into a fan of the show. He was him and his son. They were watching Jurassic World.
Yeah.
And then we were going into see Equalizer 2, and it was quite good.
You liked it?
I really did. Well, and it was interesting because if you remember the first one, it was straight up an action, like pretty intense action movie. This is that, but I think it's because of Antoine Fuqua's involvement and everything, a lot more character development.
Yeah, darker.
A little darker, a little bit more storytelling, I guess. Yeah. So it was, and Denzel doing what... we're in that time in Hollywood where all these older actors, they're putting them in these tough guy roles.
Oh yeah, I love it.
And it's interesting to see which ones hit and which ones don't.
You know what started that, right?
Taken.
When they showed that you can take a 60-year-old man and put him in a movie about kicking ass, guess what? Line him up.
You're 100% right. And since then, there's been a ton of those. What's his name?
Jack Reacher with Tom Cruise.
Cruise does one. Keanu does one. The guy from Madonna's ex-husband.
Yeah, Sean Penn
tried to do one, and it was a decent movie, but it fell flat.
Right.
Bruce Willis tried to do one.
Yeah.
He just tried.
I liked that movie. I thought it was good.
But it wasn't awful. But it wasn't great.
It was a sit home and watch.
Yeah,
it was
100%. Yeah,
but it didn't do well enough that it's not getting a second one. And to see Denzel do this with this, with this movie, and it's already at number two. You know, they've done a sequel for it, and you could see already the handwriting on the wall that they're going to do a third. Yeah.
You know, what's funny is, you know, watching stuff on Instagram, I saw a thing with The Rock, and The Rock was like,
the global movie of the world. We got the number one movie
in the world.
Thank each and every one of you.
And I'm looking at the box office. I'm like, what are you talking about, Rock? Skyscraper's not even in the top 10, but he was talking globally because over in China, it's kicking ass.
Crushing.
But it's not doing anything over here. And he's like, well, you know, I'm probably going to get my ass kicked by Mission Impossible this weekend.
No, he said, I am going to get my ass kicked. Yeah. It's weird. He's the only star that I've ever seen do this. Like, he takes it as a sport.
Yeah.
And he does a breakdown of the box office the weekend after.
Because he says, because he's competitive.
Because he's super competitive, and he doesn't want it to, he doesn't ever want to drop. You can see.
But Jimmy's like, Mamma Mia, I'm going to kick your ass. it's like The Rock against Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
But it's pretty funny.
But the global numbers are pretty ridiculous for him. And, he's The Rock, man.
But Mission Impossible made $61.5 million, which is pretty good, right?
Hell yeah. No, it's the biggest take yet for the series. And it did really well. Everybody who said saw it loved it. And it's one of the biggest openings in late July ever.
And so I know Angel saw a movie this weekend. He saw The Equalizer 2. He said it was good. I know you saw Teen Titans, right?
I did, yeah. I saw Teen Titans Go to the Movies, which is taken off of the Teen Titans Go series on Cartoon Network.
Was it funny?
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
And my
would
daughter,
I like it?
Oh, you would love it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fun. It has songs. It's really silly. They poke fun at all of the superheroes. And only really the way that they can because of animation. And my daughter, it's like my daughter and I's favorite show. I worked with Kari Payton, who plays Cyborg on there, but I didn't know it when I worked with him. Never even heard of the Teen Titans.
I was wow.
Like, and then he's like, yeah, tell your daughter to watch it. She's like, she'll like it. So I started watching. I was like, dude, I love this show.
That's good.
And then they made this movie. It did pretty well. It made $10.5 million, considering it has a $10 million budget. Those movies are made for DVD streaming and globally it'll probably do okay as well. But it was really funny. And really, Michael Bolton had stuff in it.
Oh, really?
Bunch of celebrity cameos, and the songs were really they mess with Batman a lot.
Of course, yeah.
It's the whole take is that Robin should have his own superhero movie.
Yeah.
And really, really well done, and enjoyed it.
All right, then you're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
So you failed a personality test.
What exactly do you mean by a wrong answer?
We'll still talk to you.
407-916-1041. Real Radio 104.1.
Minutes, your chance to win tickets for two to the Monster Fan Appreciation Show will be on our website at monsters.fm. You go to monsters.fm, you see if your name is one of the daily five. If your name is one of those five, you get hold of Blog and Molly right away, and you very well could join us this coming Saturday at Universal Studios Orlando. I just put a video up from Universal Studios too, so you can see what the studio looks like. It's an awesome studio there.
Studio,
we'll
man.
Be there Friday morning and also Saturday morning. And Saturday morning, we'll be playing music on Real Music Weekends joining you at Universal Studios. If you can't win tickets, if you want to just buy tickets and join us, you are welcome to. If you got annual passes, it's a great time to meet us. Come on out. We'll take a big photo in front of the broadcast studio and then go ride the rides, go to lunch with you at the Monster Cafe, and then end up at Finnegan's Irish Bar. At the end of the day. But looking forward to that. That's coming this Saturday. So remember to look at 9 o'clock at monsters.fm and see if your name is up.
Yeah, man.
I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. This is normally Stephen Kramer is here, and we do like a legal thing. So I have a legal story, and I'm going to see if you guys can guess this.
Fire.
Okay, so this guy's name is Keith King.
All right.
Keith King lives in Durham, North Carolina. Now, in North Carolina, you can sue for alienation of affection if somebody cheats with your wife. or what the hell, or what? With your husband. What? It's called alienation of affection.
So you can cheat the cheater.
So let's say this.
You can sue the cheater.
Let's say, God forbid, you know, somebody starts flirting with your wife, and your wife starts leaving.
What do you know, Russ?
I'm just saying.
Freaking tell me.
Leaves you for this other guy,
oh
right?
Oh, God, okay.
You can sue the other guy.
Where, in Missouri?
No, this is in North Carolina.
Oh.
It's called alienation of affection.
Wow.
So this guy, you know, he said he was happily married, everything was wonderful. And then this guy comes in, Francisco. You got to look out for anyone named Francisco.
You do.
Francisco comes in, and
wow, really, that's Sabado Gigante.
And Francisco has an affair with the wife. Next thing you know, this guy Keith, he gets separated. He says his business starts to tank because he's so upset. He also has PTSD because he's so upset about his wife leaving for this other guy. So he sues Francisco. And this happened actually in court. The judge awarded the guy that was cheated on an amount of money. How much money do you think he was awarded? Because the judge believed he does have PTSD. His business did tank because of the cheating. How much do you think he was awarded for this
was
lawsuit?
It enough money to fix him from being a bitch of a man, was it?
Yes,
Jesus
actually,
Christ,
I think.
Give me a break, man. Oh, my business is hurt because I was getting cheated on.
Wow,
whatever, dude. Enough of that.
If one of my buddies said that to me, like, my business is going down because my ear, I would grab him. I'd do that, Michael Corleone. Be a man.
Ah, damn.
Be a man.
What a precedent to set, right? I got my feelings hurt.
Well,
I got my feelings hurt by my wife, so now my business sucks, and I'm going to blame somebody else. You should blame your wife. Can he sue his wife back?
Now, that's I knew we would go there, and I do want to go there.
I'll get the number. I'm sorry.
The yellow hat guy is the original husband.
Oh, she's beautiful. I can see why.
There's the wife.
Yeah.
And then there's the Francisco to the far
left.
It's
the lead singer of Lynn.
But look at that. The guy on the does look like the lead singer of Lynn. the guy on the left microphone, he obviously must have been doing okay. It looks like he's in a basketball game, like hosting some sort of sponsored bit. That's what he looks like.
Yeah, he is King BMX. He does something with BMX bikes, right?
So then, but then Francisco looks like a world traveler. He's got a backpack on. He's in the mountains. He's trained. Like, that's what she wanted, dude. Yeah. It's not your fault. It's not Francisco's fault that you never spent time with old lady.
So Keith King won a settlement. What do you think, if you had to guess, what do you think the settlement is?
You know, I don't know what his business was, but I'll just throw out a number. I mean, obviously, a business kept the food on the table, so it was, I'll say $500,000.
$500,000. $500,000. What do you think Keith won? And once again, sued the guy that stole his wife from him, Francisco.
So he probably has a good...
Judge said, now, of course, it's going to be appealed, you know, but I mean, you know, so I doubt the money will ever change hands, but
he's got a good business. He was with her for a long time. You add it up. I'm going to go $6.9 million.
What do you think, Angel? How much money do you think this guy got from
$1 million?
$8.8 million.
That's ridiculous.
You could call me a bitch if you wanted to for that.
He'll never see a dime of it.
Yeah, I was about to say, Francisco's, you know.
You don't think so?
Yeah, he's hand gliding through the clouds of Argentina right now with his girl on his back and be like, ha-ha, I'm never going to pay it because I don't even have a job. I'm Francisco. All I do is bang your old wife.
The judge sided with Keith King and awarded him $8.8 million from Francisco.
Francisco's
attorney says they're planning on appealing, of course.
But, or appealing or filing bankruptcy. Either way, you're not getting paid, dude.
You don't enjoy
the ass. Yeah. That's all you're getting.
Now, I wonder why this is allowed in North Carolina and
it's
not in the great
law,
state
dude.
Of Florida.
It's a state law. In the state of Florida, they want a law like this, you'd have to run it up the flagpole and get the citizens of the state of Florida to vote it in.
It would be really hard to do, right?
I don't know, and that's what I'm trying to find out, like the origin of the law in North Carolina, how long it's been on the books, and what precipitated this, because it is fascinating.
Alienation
North Carolina
of
is one of the few states where jilted spouses can sue affair partners.
The texting service just checked in and said actually most states were like this until the 70s.
Yeah.
And then in the 70s, I guess there was maybe this big movement or whatever, and they struck it from a lot of the state laws. I mean, I don't know that, but that's...
And I remember from the 70s where it used to be like, oh, my God, if you're caught cheating, you could prove you got caught cheating, and then
adultery was a crime.
Yeah,
actually.
It was a crime, so whoever was doing the cheating would get less money in the divorce, and then at some point we became a no-fault state where it didn't matter who was cheating. You're just getting a divorce, and it's still, you know, 50-50. But there used to be a time in Florida where, you know, if you could keep track and keep record and you knew someone was cheating, they'd get a lot less.
I don't even think an affair in Florida even factors into your court against your divorce. Like, I can't look at somebody in a divorce and go, hey, well, you cheated on me. You should only get this percentage of my estate. I don't think it works like that anymore.
Why
is that? Like, it doesn't even matter.
It seems like that should be a huge part of the divorce.
Well, it's the covenant of marriage, is it not?
Right. Like, the only thing that makes you guys, I don't understand that. Maybe it's just
so you agree with this law in North Carolina?
No, not to that extreme, but I do think it should come into play. No. Actually, I don't agree with that one, but I do think in a divorce,
the division of the estate.
Yeah, if you cheated, it should come into play.
It should affect. I agree 100%.
It should affect the divorce.
It should affect the outcome of what you get financially. Like if you are with somebody, let's say your net worth is like, let's say $2 million, right? And your wife cheats on you. You've been together, you know, 8-10 years, whatever the case may be. I mean, it shouldn't be fair that your wife, or the guy for that matter,
yeah,
gets, it's just a 50-50 thing. I mean, there should be some penalty for it, right? I mean, the covenant of marriage is based on that, is it not?
So what we're saying is that we all kind of agree with this alienation of affection law that is in North Carolina.
Yeah, two separate things.
Yeah. Not really.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, you should be able to sue somebody for it, Russ. Yeah. What we're saying is, in the divorce case, there should be penalty for it. It's what we're saying. You should be able to take somebody to court, but when you go to court for divorce, in the divorce case, it should weigh.
Okay, but you're saying it should weigh, so that means it should be handled in the divorce part of it,
right?
Not afterwards. Exactly. But either way, there should be some penalty for cheating.
Are we saying this because in this story, it's the dude that got cheated on?
No. Would
you feel this way if it was a woman that was the one that
she?
Because it really seems... Seems biased and
no, either way, dude. Either way,
I mean,
because every
scenario that I've looked up, because there's another guy dealing with a Jets player, so every one of these it's a man involved.
Well, because maybe because they may be the breadwinner of the family, and I don't know the situations, and then there's more to recoup.
And like, not for nothing, this is a sensational headline, but Francisco is not worth anything.
No, he's not.
No,
I'm a world traveler.
Worth nothing. Yeah. I mean, look, the only thing I really hope is my wife hasn't heard this.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, let's say you got a wife that's at home and she's working really hard raising the kids and she's doing everything right, everything perfectly right. And the husband goes out and the secretary starts flirty and it breaks up her happy home.
Hey, man, you're going to have to pay.
I mean, yeah.
You should. There should be a penalty for that. I don't understand why. The only thing that you do when you get married is you take a vow.
Yep.
And I know some people have open marriages, but that's a tiny, tiny percentage of marriages, you know? And there are other states where cheating comes into play with the divorce.
I believe so. Here it just says, and they're just talking about North Carolina, but I believe there are other states. It's called alienation of affection.
Yeah.
And
here's a good Texas service checking in 77031. Remember, save that as Royal Radio Text All Shows. I know we only have a few seconds. I'll rip this. A guy sold his woman and ruined his life. He should hold some responsibility. Quote, got cheated on, got over it. People do what they want enough if this is to go boo-hoo.
I mean, if you get in a car accident and you did it knowingly, it was your own fault, and you affect somebody else's life, that's a huge thing.
The states that you can sue.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Hawaii, Illinois, Mississippi, New Mexico, North Carolina, wow. South Dakota, and Utah.
That's a lot, though, really.
Kind of all across the board,
it's
too.
It's seven, dude.
Think about this. Yeah. Guy says, if Francisco wrecked your car, you'd sue. Yeah. Wrecked your life, you wouldn't?
That's what I was just... That last text made me think about that,
but,
you know?
You know the thing? We're saying Francisco did it. She had something to do with this
as well.
That's
what I'm saying.
You know?
It takes two to tango, and we're going after the dude. Like, what vibes was she putting out?
Right.
Or if it's the other way around. If it's the dude, what are you putting out there that made it plausible or made this guy think that it was cool to hit on you?
Right.
It's her fault. I would love to know the story.
Well, man, she is pretty.
She's very pretty.
She's a good looking girl.
But his name is King BMX. So anybody named King BMX?
At 30.
Yeah, something. I don't know. I'd like
Keith King, and it looks like his business is King BMX.
Yeah, it's King BMX. And like, all right, so this is, you're going through, and this is where I get like all kind of crazy about it, because there are a ton of people that are going through divorce. There are a ton of people that are going through this exact same thing, and they don't let their empires fall. Like, it looks like this guy's looking for a cop out, a handout.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So emotionally, he just couldn't handle it. And,
be a man!
But he loved her. I loved her, man. I loved her.
I love her.
Francisco took her from me.
She used to fart in bed.
Not for nothing, but Francisco's chiseled.
I know.
He's a great looking dude.
I hate that son of a bitch.
I would have gone with him, too.
But he's $8 million left. He doesn't have it. He don't have $8
million. No.
It ain't going
to
happen.
And if he did, he would give it to charity.
Because he's that good of a guy. In 5 minutes, your chance to win tickets for two to our incredible show that's going to be this coming Saturday at Universal Studios Orlando. It's the Monster Fan Appreciation Show. Go to our website at monsters.fm. Be the first one to tell Blog and Molly that that's my name, and you can win. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monster in the Morning. So your chance to go to the website at monsters.fm, that's monsters.fm, and see if your name is one of the daily five. If it is, you're going to go with us for Monster Fan Appreciation Day, which is this coming Saturday. We'll be live on Real Radio 104.1 at Universal Studios Orlando. We'll be right in front of their beautiful broadcast center and playing music and hanging out with listeners all day at Universal Studios Orlando. So looking forward to that. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins. I'm with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. And Deborah Roberts is here to bring us the real news. We got to say thank you to a gentleman who brought us a pie.
Yeah. Is it Anthony? Was it Anthony? Long time.
Pie.
Yeah. Oh, I got to bring. I wanted to walk in with Deb with the pie and go, hey, do you want some of my pie? Because you love stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right? You know,
she's always hungry.
Yeah. And she's always hungry.
She's hungry.
So I'm hungry. What is it again, Anthony? What kind of pie?
That looks like a French silk.
That's a
French silk from Perkins.
And what did I tell you to do?
That's a French silk.
Yeah, what did I say when you walked in this room?
I can't.
Get the hell on out of here. Because I'm telling you, it's me and a spoon.
Yeah.
And it's my favorite pie in the entire world.
That is my favorite pie in the whole world, and I will fight you for it.
And I just tried a little piece. I've always seen it when I would go to Perkins. And oh my God, that's good. Mm-hmm. So I'll break off a little piece of my pie.
Hey, Anthony. Hey.
I thought Jimmy, you just didn't want sweets, because Jimmy's very not a big sweets guy, but I didn't know it was your
crutch.
Yeah,
no, that's it. I mean, I'm telling
Achilles
you, that's it. And it's that particular French silk pie from Perkins of all the places, Tiger Woods' favorite joint. For some reason, the way they make that one with that crust is absolutely perfect.
So
I love
buttery.
It.
Let me ask
you, Deborah, what do you know about the name Perkins? What does it mean to you?
Yeah, what does it mean to? What does it mean?
The name Perkins.
Well, yeah, that's
French silk pie.
No. There's somebody that you know that carries this very distinguished Southern name.
Yeah,
that you're very close to. Well, maybe you're not.
I don't know.
Wow.
That's a monster trivia. He knows.
Yeah. Look, Anthony actually knows.
Dirty Jim's middle name is Perkins.
It's James Perkins Colbert.
Yes.
The third. In other words, there were two other
unfortunate souls who had middle names of Perkins.
Oh, how dare you?
Yeah. Okay, that's the first time you've heard that. Yeah, surprise.
Yeah, you don't want any of this.
Oh.
Oh, Angel, eat it up.
Angel, you're a bastard.
You know what? Oh. That's all right.
Oh, this is horrible.
You know what? Go ahead and enjoy, because that's going to be the only pie you're going to have.
Oh, damn. Look at it. And, you know, a giant piece of pie in Angel's hand looks tiny. It's like George Mirasan when he used to hold that Coke can.
I know.
God, I love that image.
A beer can and Andre the Giant.
Yes, I love that.
The size of his thumb.
So what's happening in the real news, Deborah Roberts?
Oh, well, out in California, man. Just got to send our thoughts and prayers. I know that's such an abused term.
Every year, doesn't it?
It does, but
wildfires are crazy out there.
They are. And this is their season for them.
Yeah.
This is their season. Florida has our season for wildfires. It just tends to be in the winter months, in February and such. But they've got the car fire, which if you were like me, I spent the weekend wondering how a car fire started this great big wildfire.
Wind?
It turns out I'm thinking a vehicle fire started this wildfire. How did that happen? And it's not. Of course, it's the area. Wind, a lightning strike, 95,000 acres have burned. 3,000.
Cigarettes sometimes people throw cigarettes.
Yeah. It takes so little to ignite it. I mean, even your catalytic converter, if you're pulled over on the side of the road and your car is running and you're sitting over dry grass.
Is that catalytic converter?
Catalytic. Go eat your pie. I walk in there and make you wear pie.
Don't make this Colombian mad.
She's crazy, man.
Straight up crazy. I don't care how Andre the Giant you are.
Not scared of you.
He wants it.
Yeah.
He wants to.
I think I've got time for a little pie wrestling before I go on the network.
I'm sure you do.
You come back to the news covered in pie.
You know what? They wouldn't even ask.
Yeah,
they'd be like, "Are you gonna? You're gonna be ready for your 10:30, right? Because I ain't doing any extra work."
So, how many fires are there in
60?
60 fires
in California alone.
If you look at the state, it's like all over. I mean, it's crazy.
And the car fire has destroyed enough acreage to be the size of Philadelphia. That's how much. 95,000 acres. You've got two firefighters that were killed over the weekend.
Oh, damn it, man.
You've got whole six family. People. I mean, yeah, you've got, a great-grandmother was found draped over her grandchildren's bodies.
Oh, was the footage I was telling you about. Yeah. Did you hear the granddad?
No.
They interviewed him earlier this morning. I had to turn it off. That heart-wrenching kind of,
And that's the thing. You've got 3,000 firefighters from all over California battling these blazes, and at the same time, guys, they're going up into their neighborhoods and seeing their own homes destroyed. There's nothing they can do to even save their own homes.
And we were saying the same thing last year on this time. Yeah. I mean, you were coming and telling us the same story about these guys, and they couldn't go back to save their own homes or saving everyone else's homes.
But I feel like it's been year-round, though, this time with the fires.
It feels that way, because it seems like we just got done talking about the Northern California fires that decimated wine country, but that was a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah, because last year there was a question whether Detective Barb could
Napa Valley. Yeah,
but then we learned that it's not all of Napa Valley that was burning. There, there were areas that were fine.
And listen,
but it looks like it's worse this year.
And we've learned from here in Florida, after a hurricane, that's when you need your visitors to come back to whatever places are still able to accommodate them and still give them a great vacation, because that's what the people of California, they don't need people to go away. They need people to come and visit once the fires are under control.
Well, I was just talking to Rick Everett about, he went to the Keys this weekend, our big dog program director here, and he said, yes, some places are decimated, some places are right built back up, though.
Yeah.
It's about, that's a money issue. Obviously, the Keys bring in a ton of money, so you got people going, hey, let's get this going.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So here, look, we've got the SunRail Southern Expansion starting up today. They've got like 17 additional miles of rail, 4 new stations, Meadow Woods, Tupperware, Kissimmee, and Poinciana and Osceola County.
Oh, so it goes further
south.
That's a big help there. That's a game changer.
Especially in Poinciana and Osceola County, all those folks relying on the buses to get them into work if they work downtown Orlando or would like to work somewhere closer to Central Florida. So that is a good deal there.
Was there an announcement about some sort of a SunRail or something going from here to Tampa?
It used to be back in the day.
They were talking about it.
Now that the talk on that is that to be a privately funded train that would travel from Orlando to Tampa westward. We've got Brightline, of course, that's coming up from Miami into Orlando.
Yeah.
That's one, it's a pretty... That's the train that they hear a lot of balking about it.
But right.
They're still, to go from OIA all the way over to, over to Tampa.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense to get as many roads as we can as many cars as we can off the roads, rather. And we've got 7 Democratic lawmakers calling on the governor to suspend all SunPass tolls until the SunPass system is fixed.
It's fixed, right, yeah.
Because they're saying some customers are being double-billed and FDOT knows it and they're not doing anything about it.
And then people getting blatant, they clear out their accounts.
Well,
coming out.
The system's been down since June 1st.
Ooh.
So they've got a backlog of millions and millions of toll transactions. And the big fear is that if they dump a whole month's worth
of
tolls into your account like myself,
yeah,
You've just overdrawn me.
Hey, Deborah, $200 a month easy. I'm paying on tolls, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Deborah, I know we talked sometime about, you know, the idea of connecting Orlando to Miami and Orlando to Tampa with a high-speed rail would be great. How much do you think that would affect the idea of, and I know there are some actually people working on this, bringing the state capital to Orlando? If we had those connections to those cities, those bigger cities like that, do you think that'd make a bigger or a better chance for that to actually happen?
I think that you'd see a bigger push.
Yeah.
However, whether or not the old guard in Tallahassee would allow it to go.
Yeah.
Because then there would also be huge new expense. I mean, they just completed not too long ago a renovation of the governor's mansion. So that would be all wasted money. And then, of course, you'd crush that county. Yeah. Not just that town, but you'd crush that
county.
That's
pretty much what's all going on there. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that. Now, yeah. Let Tallahassee, even though Tallahassee obviously isn't the biggest city. Orlando's got its thing. Miami's got its thing. Jacksonville's got rednecks and camo. And, you know, let Tallahassee have. I love you, Jackson.
He's right.
But let them have it because, yeah, what do we need it for? We don't need more congestion.
You do not.
Okay?
Yeah, we do not.
It's up there in Leon County doing just fine.
Yeah, exactly. And, we, you know, give the folks up in Leon County something to work with because they've got two universities. But still, it's, you know, Tallahassee has the worst. It's got like the fifth worst murder rate in the country.
What? Yeah.
It has more crime in the state of Florida than Miami.
Yeah.
Tallahassee.
That's insane. I did not know that.
And yeah, they have a very bad homicide.
And when I was there.
That's just Jameis Winston.
When I was there, I mean, there weren't a lot of people there. It didn't look like it was a crowded place.
No.
I mean, it's almost like where is everybody? They're almost like a ghost town.
You ever been to Gainesville in the summer?
Same thing, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, there's like nobody there. I mean, half the population of the city leaves. You know, and hauls ass.
They got the Tebow Mall, though, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's nice, right?
Yeah. It's like 17 Christian bookstores.
It's only 100 feet long, so he can throw it the entire distance.
Oh, damn. Still coming at Tebow. He's injured.
The poor guy. He can't help it.
He got an unusual injury.
What else is going on? Anything?
Well, lastly, if you heard about the WWE is just invading Florida. We've got Raw is going to be Miami, American Airlines Arena tonight.
Okay.
They were in Daytona last night, weren't they?
I believe so. SmackDown and tomorrow here in Orlando.
Okay.
There's a couple of places next week in Jacksonville. Like all of the major cities in Florida are getting one or the other of the WWE shows.
You know what doesn't sound attractive? Miami Raw.
It happens.
Whatever, dude. I'm down.
All right.
Eat your pie.
All right, Deborah. Thank you very much. All right. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
Bet you've heard that before.
You know, I don't really ask a whole lot out of this relationship, but I just feel like I'm being taken for granted. I guess this is what happens when you get the milk for free. Kong.
Hey, got another really cool thing happened. Of course, we told you about Monster Fan Appreciation Show coming up this Saturday. Looking forward to that. Universal's hooking us up. A bunch of listeners, like 100 tickets. But, you know, you can join us if you want to join us at Universal. We'll be there. It'll be great. And then we got the Monster Back to School Skate Party, which is happening on August the 10th. So that's not too far away, and it's a family thing, you know, which you can bring everybody.
Right.
Bring your kids, bring everybody. That's going to be a great skate night. We're going to have skate races. We're going to have couples skate, and I got a really great prize for the couples skate. I'll be able to announce that coming up in a little bit. Angel will be spinning the tune. Savannah's going to do her snake skate. Ryan Holmes is going to join us and do the cotton candy bonanza, and Carlos is going to run the races, and it's going to be a great time. And that is coming up at Astro Skate on the 10th, and then on the 11th, long awaited, been waiting for this for some time, and finally have it. And remember, there's only 50 seats available, and they will go quickly, so you might want to, at 10 o'clock, get your tickets for the Monster Brew Bus, which is happening on August the 11th. It's a Saturday, and the Brew Bus is going to go to Sanford Brewing. We're going to New Smyrna Brewing and Daytona Beach Brewing, and of course, you hear us do Beer of the Week every week. Angel brings you Beer of the Week. Angel will be hosting it. I'm going to be on the bus as well. Come hang out with us. Get your tickets. But there's only 50. There's only 50 available. So if you want your tickets, when do they go on sale, Angel? Is it
10 a.m.? So in about, 30 minutes?
Yeah.
40 minutes.
Get your tickets for the Brew Bus. It's going to be a lot of fun. Everyone I've been on, it ends up being kind of like a cruise. You know, we get cruise buddies, cruise friends. Y'all are hanging out the whole time.
Man, they're a blast, man.
It is a lot of fun. Tickets are limited. We're not going to be able to add on another bus like we've done before. This is the bus that we have, and this is it. So if you want to join us for this, man, today's the day to get your tickets, and don't be left out. There's only 50 seats available, and that is going to be August the 11th, so it's not too far away. So we got Monster Fan Appreciation, we got the skating party, and we've got the Monster Brew Bus, a little something for everybody.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah, looking forward to that. So at 10 o'clock, you can get your tickets for that. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. And,
nothing sad. Please don't tell me anything sad, Russ.
What if it's stupid?
Stupid's good.
Is stupid okay?
Stupid's great.
It's kind of sad stupid,
Oh,
though.
Damn it.
Yeah. It's the new... the new challenge that's on the social media.
Wait, are we going to talk about this idiot?
Which one?
Is this the hot water challenge?
Yes.
What's this? I have. There's so many challenges going on right now.
This is the hot water challenge.
I haven't heard this.
Wasn't there one where you jumped out of your car or something?
That's the Kiki dance.
Okay, that was stupid as well. This is probably more stupid. And someone from Indianapolis severely hurt. 15-year-old second degree burns all over his back and his face. It's the hot water challenge where they boil water and pour it on somebody.
Why would you do that?
So you get hits on social media.
So the challenge consists of someone either drinking boiling water
out of a straw
through a straw, or having the water poured on them. And the kid that's on there right now, guess what he chose?
Poured on me.
Yeah.
And there's a kid in Florida that died of this.
Oh my God, man.
Yeah. It says here's amazingly a bad idea. It says that how hot does the water have to be? Do you think for you to get
212.
No.
It boils at 212 degrees, right?
Okay.
451.
Well, how hot does it have to be for it to cause third degree burns on your body? It says 120 degrees. If the water is 120 degrees, and these guys got boiling water, that just...
Look, man, I love to sit back. I don't know how old they are, but if I was around their social media 15. Time, I would be doing every single one of these challenges. And I'd be, I mean, maybe not the drinking boiling water one, but I would be pushing the limits as to how silly and crazy I could get.
Because when you're young, you think you're invincible.
And I saw a video of these two girls doing the hold your chest challenge.
What's
that? There's another one where you slam somebody against the wall, your friend, and then you basically don't allow them to breathe. Make them pass out.
Bad idea.
It's a bad idea. But guess what? I remember doing it. I remember clearly doing it as a kid and passing out, and everybody like, "Ooh, dude, oh my God." And you're like, "Oh my God.
How long was I out?
Yeah, how long was I out? You only out for 2 seconds." It's like, what? I thought I was out forever. Because you don't think you're going to die. If you're a kid listening to this, you can die doing this.
Yeah. It is funny because beyond the social media thing, which we always put the blame on, do you guys ever remember the fad that went around back in the day where you'd put lighter fluid on yourself and light yourself on fire?
No.
And then put yourself out real quick?
I do remember something a little bit. It wasn't lighter fluid. It was something else, right?
I remember lighter fluid. That Ronsonol lighter fluid where you'd filled up your old Zippo.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle used to do it. He would spray it on himself and light it on fire real quick. And then you put it out immediately, right? Like before it actually started burning you. You know, it's kind of like
that. Singe your hair.
Kind of like that gel stuff they use for Hollywood.
Yes.
It's like the stuff that's in Sterno cans, and they'd spray it and you'd burn whatever. I remember people doing that when I was a kid. My uncle used to do all that.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I never understood the value of it. Like, I could never, I'm like, why?
Think about that. What is the value really in having clicks? You know, I mean, like what is the value in having, you know,
We're looking at it through the wrong lens, right? So we're looking at it as we're a little bit older. We've taken our bumps in life. We've done, scrapes, knees, and this and that, whatever. This is a 15-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And if you were to see the news coverage, the news interview of him and the way that he's acting, because he's got cameras in front
Loves
of him.
It.
Yeah. He's like doing the gonna shoot him. I'm going to be back on the court, this and that, whatever. And that's not the right image that he should be portraying. His skin fell off his face.
Oh God! Ooh.
Like you look at him. You know
he's injured. He's
out there. We were trying to do this, and he's all like, doing it for the Instagram.
I think it's harder and harder for younger people to understand what is real in this day and age. They see so many shocking things on their phone, multiple daily, dozens of shocking things that us by our age of 2021 had never seen other than renting a Faces of Death video.
right.
Seriously. And then you, what is the difference between, well, that person seems okay. I don't know what happens after they fall and get hit by that car. I bet you they're okay.
Yeah.
So you begin to lose reality, especially if you don't pay attention to the kid, especially if that's all they do. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting and dangerous road you got to kind of maneuver around these days with all of these new influences.
What was the last stupid thing they did?
The Tide Pod Challenge?
Tide Pod Challenge, yeah.
You guys remember making flamethrowers out of aerosol cans and a lighter?
Yeah.
And you're right, Jimmy. We did all that stuff, but we never had a platform. We never had a platform to promote it and to validate it.
It was always like urban myths,
yeah.
Urban tales that I would hear, you know?
A buddy would do it, and you'd be like, dude, Michael lit his whole hand on fire. You know, like whatever it may be. But now you do it, and boom, you're this celebrity.
But that's the idea, right? They only do it for...
To go viral.
To go viral, and everyone knows who I am and sees that I'm cool.
I think that's the ultimate, probably, to a lot of these people. But, like, ground level, it's for their buddies and their friends at school. And they may see it, and they may, you go viral, I guess. But
it's a bigger version of this. Like, when you would go to high school, you'd go in and be like, hey, dude, you hear? Like, Charlie burned himself up with lighter fluid last week trying to do that thing.
Yeah.
And then, oh, really? What was he doing? And then... Oh, yeah, that guy did it, too, and that guy did it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like a bigger click, you know? I mean,
you got the audio from this morning?
So this is WCVB in Indianapolis, and they, you know, that's the local television station, and they put a camera in front of them. We're playing the audio just so you guys can hear how the mentality of a 15-year-old, right?
You already know.
He's
so silly. Get better.
Wow.
Get me back out there. Shooting hoops.
He can joke now, but 15-year-old Kylan Clark is still wearing the scars of a dangerous internet challenge gone wrong.
The situation is here, so you can't, like, really just not deal with it.
Kylan says last week he and his friend were looking up the hot water challenge on YouTube. When he fell asleep, he says his friend heated up some water and poured it on him.
Oh,
man. It was supposed to be a joke.
So, but then when I came to my senses, the water got hot, and I just got up and I ripped my shirt off.
Kylan ran to a bathroom to try to escape the pain.
And then, like, I looked down at my chest and my skin just...
Yeah. That's a friend that would get his ass beat.
Yeah, but I know I've been in those circles with buddies that you just pull a prank and you're not trying to kill your buddy. You're not trying to hurt your buddy. You're supposed to get a big laugh.
So was
it
boiling hot water?
No, it's boiling hot water. His skin is gone.
Or did they just go and, like, you got cold water and you got hot water and they just trick it around a tap? Oh,
they boiled it. It's boiling hot water. And then the kid that died in the state of Florida, guess how old he was? Oh. Or he or she was. I don't have the sex of it.
Oh.
8 years old.
Oh, God.
My God. That's horrible, man. God. Damn internet.
Super stupid. Super, super stupid.
Yeah, but, you know, that's an 8-year-old kid, man. Like,
no, I know.
It's so sad. Like, how does an 8-year-old kid even get access to have that much? I don't know. You got to boil the water. Hey, Timmy. Hey, why are you boiling that water? You're 8 years old.
It's something like that. Does Instagram take it down? They don't.
If it's super graphic, that YouTube posts most of that stuff.
Yeah.
But Instagram will blur it.
Yeah, but then you have the local, local TV who's doing a news story. And
sure, because it's interesting.
And it starts off with the kid. You know, I'll be right back out there. Da da da. Like. That's not the first image that it should be of this kid.
Nah.
All right. Yeah, when we come back, Carlos will take it to the top. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
Radio. Do I find it so hard?
Yeah, 10 o'clock, tickets going to sale for the Monster Brew Bus. The one that's happening on August the 11th. We're going to Sanford Brewing. We're going to New Smyrna Brewing and Daytona Beach Brewing. That's going to be a lot of fun on a beautiful bus. And there's only 50 seats available, so you might want to get your tickets ASAP. As soon as it happens this morning, go to monsters.fm, and you'll be able to get the tickets for the Brew Bus. That's monsters.fm/brewbus. Or realradio.fm/brewbus. Either one will work, and you can get your tickets for the Brew Bus, which is coming up very, very soon. Hey, guys, I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. And now Carlos is going to take it to the top.
Let's go. Bang. Bang. Cookie, cookie. Good morning, everybody. Hello. My name is Carlos Alberto Navarro, and this is To the Top. every single morning, trying to take you to the top, make you think, make you laugh, whatever it may be. Today is no different. No different at all. Monday here in Orlando, Florida, which we're petitioning to be the new capital of the state. Very slowly, every day. Not really, but I love Orlando, and thank you for tuning in to us always, and had a wonderful weekend.
I saw your photos from the water park.
Yeah, I love a good water park, because I said earlier in the show, I, like most everybody, a little insecure about their weight, maybe the way they look. You know, you see a picture, I could tune up this, look a little bit better. But when you go to a water park, all of a sudden, you don't feel too bad. You look around, you see, well, these people are very free with their bodies. These very large and in charge people give zero F's and are out there, and why not me? So
Would you say predominantly European tourists or South American tourists?
You know, the thing about water parks, Angel, it's a buffet of the country and of the world, I should say.
You said buffet.
Exactly. But did go to the gym back to the gym a little bit.
Nice.
In the morning. Sunday morning was in there trying to, you know, and look, this is what I'm saying. I'm trying to get on a good run. I'm not, you know, I know it's a lifestyle change.
I think they say it takes how many times before it's a habit?
14.
14 times it's important to have it. Yeah.
I'm about 13 away.
Yeah.
One in a row.
Yeah, I was doing stuff around the house but to get in the gym, got back in the gym on Sunday, looked around, tried to find some of my old mates.
They've all fallen off.
Didn't see my best friend Angel. I know my boy who I was looking for, didn't see him. Nope.
He quit working out.
I think he did once I stopped going. And I looked, it was like all new people. I was like, oh, man.
Working out at Sonny's.
So, back on it. Hope you're doing all right there, too. My project for the weekend, because, you know, I try and do a little project every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many of you guys have done this. I'm guessing Jimmy has.
That's all I did all weekend, damn it.
You did a bunch of projects?
Yeah, all weekend long.
Okay, what'd you do?
Hung a ceiling fan, put up some wall boards. We did some painting and some other stuff like that. Just silly stuff.
Yeah, Jeff's Home Depot, Lowe's stuff, maybe for you. A little more high dollar, man. I don't know if you've done it before, Russ, because I can't think of any place.
Chances are I have.
No? Well, I haven't been to all of your homes, but I've been to most of them, and I can't remember seeing it. And that's put up a TV on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
You put it up?
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy, you put one up, right?
Before? Oh, yeah, yeah. And did the zero wire thing where you punch a hole in the drywall and run everything behind the wall so it's a clean mount.
That's what we're doing.
Absolutely.
I love clean mounts.
Angel, have you put up a TV in the wall?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty interesting how to get it. You know, it was always a little bit intimidating because I'm like, it's my TV.
Yeah. Well, dude, you got all, basically now we're living in a time where the cheat sheet of that exists.
Yes.
If you've got the stud finder and if you've got the bracket that they build already for it, it's all a matter of just.
That's why you got the stud finder.
Exactly
the Ryobi,
right. Yeah. My buddy Chris came over. He put up a million of them. I was like, look, I think I can do this, but I'm so glad he did because he came over and he brought. That, what is it, the drill driver? Boom, zoom, zoom, the one that's a little bit more heavy duty. Man, you feel like a man when you're using that thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
And put it up. Damn, it looks good.
Yeah, it does.
You know, just a little change. It was like $80 for the stand or whatever. But a little bit of paint, and I said this before, it could be kind of part of the motivational minute. We have sat and looked at that TV, my wife and I, like, for years, and gone, man, if it was up on that wall, sure would be nice.
Yeah.
And we put it to the side. It took us under an hour to do it and knock it out. Same with paint. You know, you don't have to spend thousands upon thousands to make your home life better. And so many people go home and sometimes their home is more cluttered and crazy than their workplace. You know what I'm saying? And your home should be your solace, whether you got a tiny little apartment, been there, or you got a big ass house. It's a place where you can relax, and little improvements like that, man, just make you feel. I just looked around like, man, feels good, and we did it.
Creature comforts.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when the older you get, the more time I think you spend at home and different things like that.
And you enjoy your, at least for me, I enjoy my home more now than I ever did.
Well, 100%. Yeah, because yours is a museum.
I know. You know what? I love it that way.
You could charge money to walk through the Rollins estate and just, like, look at the perfectly positioned and well-lighted and everything. It doesn't even look lived in.
You know what? You're right. It's that crazy. But, you know, luckily, my wife is the same way I am. And I spent, I'm like, hey, you know what I want to do today? Like, I was excited. I've got this, it's a shark and it's a steamer. And it, you can steam clean the floors.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to steam clean today. And she's like, she got as excited as I did. And I don't know. Just, I like the house being clean and looking nice. We had friends come over on Saturday. And when they come in, it's like, you know, it's in good
don't
shape.
Don't ever invite me to your house, dude.
Why?
Ever. He's licking everything. I'm going to start. I want to mess stuff up. I'm just going to put my hands on everything, fingerprints on.
Look, it's you can control it. As much as you, there's a lot, most of life is uncontrollable. A lot of things we cannot control.
Uh-huh.
Making your house feel as comfortable as possible, definitely something you can do. So that's what I did this weekend. I did go see Teen Titans as well. We talked a little bit about that.
Yeah. It looks. I saw a little clip and it looked kind of funny because it was like Robin making fun of Batman.
I think you'd really dig it, Russ. Yeah. I know you're not super into cartoons, but... we enjoyed it.
Do we have to find a kid that you can borrow so you can go to the movie?
No, I could watch that one by myself, I guess.
Oh, man, they totally go back in time and they have to stop all the superheroes being made.
Oh, okay.
And it's really well done. It's gotten great reviews as well, and I'm really happy for one of my great friends, Kari Payton, to be doing so well, and the guy deserves it. And then I watched a documentary. I know we always like to all catch up with what we watched over the weekend. Of one of my all-time favorite people, and I'm glad. Well, I guess it's been almost 2 years now, and it was Robin Williams. I think it's called Inside My Mind.
I think that's right.
And it really is all about his mind. It really is. It's a documentary on his life, and it talks about
his brain was wired differently. You know,
100%, 100%. And you see this one of a kind. I don't think there's anybody that's even come close to Robin Williams.
But sadly, his mind is, I mean, he depression is why he committed suicide, right?
No. Dewey.
Yeah.
Body Dewey dementia thing.
Yeah, he initially thought he had Parkinson's, and he may have had Parkinson's. This is towards the end of the documentary. And then he had this disease that Jimmy, I think, got it correct, where your mind begins to play with you, and your mind begins, from what Bobcat Goldthwait said, which was his best friend, said it began to feed him misinformation.
Right.
He was in pain. He was just a different guy.
Yeah.
And for a guy that lived to perform, his lifeblood was seeing people laugh, and he'd do it at a bus stop. He'd do it at a giant motion picture set. He would do it at church. He's that kind of guy. And very interesting look on his life. A lot of stuff being an entertainer and a performer, and a guy who loves to do voices and characters and bits.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff I saw related to. A lot of stuff I did not. And I feel very... blessed and lucky that I don't have that artist switch. A lot of these artists have that depression switch that is like they are not happy unless they're on that stage.
Mm-hmm.
And
hearing Pam Dauber talk, because she was a big part of it. Yeah, I watched part of it. Yeah. Hearing her talk was it's kind of heartbreaking. Man.
It was.
I mean, you could see just in her body language. Even if you just killed the sound and you knew she was being asked questions about Robin, you could see in her body language that it was still to this day, like it happened the day before to her. I mean, there was a connection there, I'm guessing that, you know, it's just a little bit more special than maybe a normal one.
Well, he had such an impactful presence about him, and every major giant star is on that documentary going, never seen anybody like him.
Yep.
Never. David Letterman's like, I was like, I made the mistake of moving to LA if this is the kind of talent that we have to go against. And I think, unfortunately, we're in a time where, like, it's hard to be original. It's really hard to be original these days because everything you kind of look at, it's kind of a copy of that. It's kind of a copy of that, you know? And I don't know if we'll ever see somebody like Robin Williams again, but it was a great documentary. It's on HBO, and I highly recommend it. Now, it is International Mutt Day, right?
It is, yeah.
And we talked a little bit earlier about... I had an encounter online about somebody who, after posting my awesome picture of my little pup.
I saw it. It was on Instagram. And it was cute. The adorable dog.
It was you and the mutt.
And me. Hey.
I hope you didn't spend a whole lot of money on that.
And literally somebody posted.
That's so amazing.
Those words that Angel encapsulized there. I said, I know you love your dog and all.
Yeah.
But I hope you didn't spend a bunch of money for nothing. I deleted the comment, but what? Nothing more than a mutt.
Why do you think people type things they never would say? You know, I know even I've started to type something. I'm like, I wouldn't say that in person, so I'm not going to say it there. You know, like I don't know. It's weird.
It's the anonymity, I think.
Yeah.
I think people become emboldened and they don't even realize it because there is this shield of this, you know, fake world. It's almost like it's fake. And that's what inspired me. This is the motivational minute. I know a lot of people don't want to hear this, but slowly our digital world is becoming our real world. And what do I mean by that? Back in the day, you could say something to somebody and nobody would even know it. He said, she said. Now it's documented. It's out there. It's a timeline. And we see it day in, day out. Famous people or not, people opening their damn mouths when they don't need to. This is my rule. If you won't say it in real life, then don't write it on the internet.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. If you, when I read LeBron James comments and the comments are like, you suck, dude. I dunk all over you. Like,
yeah.
And this is an example of somebody who I've allowed a lot of people into my friends group, and that's whatever. So, of course, you're going to get some of that. But this happens on smaller levels, too, when they have a Facebook and it's like just your friends and family. And old Willie from Arizona decides to chime in on your kid's picture that hasn't seen him in 6 years and say, hey, he's gotten really weird looking at you. You know?
He's gaining weight. Man, you're getting fat.
What's up with your boy's grill?
Exactly.
Hey, Russ, you're looking fat and happy.
Right. Like, if you wouldn't say it in real life, then don't post it on the internet. That's a real easy way to save your ass from when you go to that job interview and 2 years from now and you sit down and the person pulls up because it, right now there are services that will run and filter all of your social media and pull out keywords.
When you work your ass off to make it to the majors.
Exactly,
there's
Jimmy.
There's another story, one of those, coming up in Monster Sports.
Yeah,
another one.
Seven years ago.
Or when you come back. When you bring back a massive, successful TV sitcom, a heritage TV sitcom, and the whole world loves you. But damn it, man.
One week later.
I got to tell you how I feel about that ex-president's assistant, because I just got to say it. You know what? Don't say it.
Yeah.
And trust me, I've messed up. I mess up all the time. I say things and I go, damn it, why did I write that?
Literally, Roseanne was 1 week. Oh, my God. They come back. Kid, you know, boy, look at she's back. The show's amazing. The president was going, good job, Roseanne. And 1 week later, man, she's a pariah.
Do you think that it's a lack of, like, because of the way that we are now and, you know, Twitter fingers and everyone's brave and text, you know, texting.
Oh, Twitter fingers sound delicious.
You know, yeah. And everyone's a texting tough guy, that there's no shame or humility left. Because what the opposite of that, what the other thing that's happening is that people that are talk tough in social media world or whatever, they carry that out into the real world, and they're getting two pieces served to them right and left, and those videos are becoming viral videos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It is. I'm just saying, man. I know I've had to talk to myself and go, chill. Don't post that. Don't say that. I've never been like had that feeling. God, I want to post this, and then I post something stupid and at the end.
This guy, he spent too much on that dog. I'm gonna tell him his money ain't worth a damn.
And honestly, Russ, I'm saying this. My response after I responded to him, I go, God, take your own advice, Carlos.
right.
I didn't curse him out. I didn't say anything like that.
I know you love your dog and all, but hope you didn't spend that much money on that mutt.
Right.
Why would someone say that?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I don't know, but I hope we get to a place where people are just more civil online because so much interaction happens online. Jimmy,
if someone says something stupid like that, can we just go revert back to being really, really dumb too and just say, well, I spent that much on your mama?
I was going to say that.
Like your mama joke.
I spent that much on your mama.
Mama jokes are timeless.
I was going to do that with a winky face. That would have been okay, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to start doing. There's mama jokes.
Yeah, that's what Shaq does.
Yeah. Oh, does he really?
Yeah, he says your mama to every single thing that Barkley says.
I think that's funny.
Oh, I thought I was being retarded by myself.
And I know.
What are you doing?
I know criticism is always there. I don't mind a little constructive criticism. Take it all the time. Trust me. When you're an actor, you get stuff all the time, people telling you what to do.
Yeah.
But when you're just blatantly rude, I don't play that, man. I'm not going to do that. And the food world, Jimmy, I'm sure there are people that like to critique maybe the things that you do.
Yeah, it's called Yelp. And every chef I've ever met in my entire life hates it. Restaurant owner hates it because it's not, unfortunately, it's disingenuous. A lot of people are just asses to be asses.
To incite.
Matter of fact, we know for a fact now. My wife was reading a story this past weekend about people who are professional Yelpers. Mm. They've proven they've never even visited the place they're giving reviews on.
Mm.
But the problem is because so many people lean on services like that to find either something to eat, to drink, a movie to watch, whatever the case may be. They give so much credit to it until it's completely discredited, which, to be honest with you, a lot of it should be.
Yeah.
They won't take it. They won't take it for to be truth at all. Huh. I mean, I've not met one that likes it that says it's helped them.
Well, man, all I'm saying is be nice on the internet. It'll pay you back. It'll come back around. Being nice always ends up coming back around. Being mean, being vulgar, being nasty always bites you in the ass. Always bites you in the ass, one way or the other. May take a day, may take a month, may take a year. But those words will come back and haunt you because now they live forever. Yeah.
Forever and ever.
Forever.
Amen.
Forever. So that's a motivational minute, especially on this Monday. We're getting the week going. We're getting started. I hope you have an amazing week. I hope you accomplish every single goal that you set forth. And when you do, I want you to take it to the top. And I do know one thing. Today will be a great day. To the top. Never stop.
Hey, when we come back, Amy's going to bring you Monster Sports. Remember, it's 10 o'clock. You'll be able to go on our website. Go to monsters.fm or realradio.fm/brewbus. There's only 50 seats available for the Brew Bus, and it's going to be a great time. We're going to Sanford Brewing, going to New Smyrna Brewing, and Daytona Beach Brewing, and Angel and I will definitely be on that bus. So join us. You can go to the website now and get them. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
There's an easier way. It's called texting. 77031. Real mobile. It's real easy. From Radio. Radio. 104.1.
Got into you today.
What's that?
Angel is playing a lot of rock and roll today, and I wonder what got into him.
Yeah, usually, he gets in mood, you know?
Usually something will tweak him into that particular world, a song or maybe a new record or something.
Yeah, what's got you in the rock mode,
I'll blame it on Tom Morello.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that new single of him that we played on Friday, I used it to kick off What the Hell's Angel Listening To Friday night.
Yeah.
And so, basically, over the weekend, I just been wanting to hear the crunches of guitars.
What project is he? I mean, it's not a.
It's a solo album.
Wow, really?
Yeah, Tom Morello's got a solo album. The first single off that is with EDM group Knife Party, but he does a bunch of collaborations on this album. And that initial single, we played it on the ones and twos.
It was great, yeah.
Yeah, and so it just got me in that mood. So sweet. I've been listening to a lot of crunch over the weekend.
That'd be something.
Hey, welcome back to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins. I'm with Dirty Jim and Carlos. Now Angel's going to bring you Monster Sports.
Nothing to talk about.
Ones and twos are brought to you by...
Ones and twos?
You did a rust. No, don't dump it.
I was turning it down.
That's using the tools you have. Dump it whatever you want to do.
I was turning it down. I'm sorry.
Make yourself sound awesome.
Monster Sports is brought to you by Harry Buffalo. We're located right there on Church Street. Now, just to give you an idea of how awesome a sports bar facility they are, right? So we've got the soccer match on Saturday. Friday night, they have dueling pianos. They're bringing back dueling pianos to Church Street. If you've been here for a while, you remember that was one of the iconic things that you could do on Church Street.
Yeah.
That goes down Friday night at 8 p.m. Also, football season is right about to start, and they want me to get this information out there that Harry Buffalo is a Florida State bar on Saturdays and a Buffalo Bills bar on Sundays.
Okay.
So those are the home teams for that particular bar, so definitely go hang out there. Make that your place to go watch the games. All I'm going to do is play this audio for you. I'll start off the bat, and then you'll understand why.
The area. Correct. And he's done it. He's hit the edge. Hat trick. This is exactly what they brought Zlatan Ibrahimovic to do. Big moments, big goals. The Galaxy lead.
Uh,
That's a tough one to watch. That's a tough call to listen to because that is Zlatan putting a hat trick on Orlando City in Los Angeles.
Well, that's like a big-ass crowd. Oh, that was in Los Angeles.
That's
though.
In L.A., yeah.
So like they're selling those out there as well then, right?
This guy in particular is like, I mean, he's not that far off of his Premier League game, let's say. And like he dumped three goals on us.
He's one of the biggest gets MLS has ever gotten.
Hmm.
Same with Andy Rooney, right? Like, yeah. Oh, no, Rooney's playing for... Yeah, he's
DC.
Playing DC. Yeah.
So,
Kaká was, right?
Kaká was probably the first of those kind of names to come over here.
Beckham.
So that's the call as the Orlando City drops this match to the Galaxy 4-3. And he was responsible for three of the goals.
They were beautiful goals. I went and watched them and... Headers and
so again, we were competitive. We were in there, you know. But you're facing this guy as a juggernaut in the league, and it's a tough tough one to handle. But hopefully, we can get it together. All right. So where are we at? The next baseball player to get caught in the let's go with this. This is kind of funny. So New Jersey superintendent of schools had to step down and resign. Because he was having a problem doing this. Have you guys seen this story?
No.
All right, so he resigned on Friday, it looks like. His name is Thomas Tramagilini. He was arrested in May, and then he finally stepped down from his $147,000 a year job.
Damn.
What do you think he was doing on campus that caused him to lose his job, caused him to step down?
He was doing it on campus.
He was doing this on a daily basis on the high school football track and field.
Was he running naked?
No, we actually talked about this earlier this year.
Was he hitting back and baseballs?
Was it on their track or was it on a competitor? Was it on a rival high school's track?
Oh, he went to the bathroom?
Spitting.
Doo-doo. There's a piece I have, Jimmy. Doesn't specify that.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, basically, this guy was having a problem. He was pooping on a local football track and field every day.
Yeah.
Like, on the field. He was walking by, dropping a deuce.
They actually, didn't they set up cameras and catch him or something like that? Or they put out a spy or something?
Yeah,
or?
So he got arrested for this in May, and it's just now that
how
he's
that
stepping.
Happen?
But here's the $147,000 question. We don't know why.
Why? Yeah.
No one knows why
yet. Did he have some sort of a problem?
He would go there to specifically defecate on that property.
Like werewolf style? Like he's a werewolf?
If you just mean by in public, sure. I don't know what the werewolf has to do with it.
Yeah, he was straight up just...
Is that a condition?
I don't know.
I would immediately say I had a condition to save my job.
If you're making 147.
Yeah, I'd be like, I have this condition. I'm so sorry.
And I can't help myself. I walk around public fields and I just got to drop a deuce.
Other than that, I love the kids. I love the kids.
So, I can imagine just doing this howling afterwards.
That dude went through so much to become a principal. And then when he goes to apply at another school and they ask him, why did you get fired from that school? He's going to say, well... I used to like to poop on the track and field track.
Was he a principal or AD?
He was the superintendent. He was like high up there.
Wow.
Don't just casually walk in and get one of those, I don't think, right?
No.
I think he needs to go to Germany to look for a new job. They will hire him.
If you want to see some heartbreaking video, go to monsters.fm, and this is what it looks like when a guy decides to wreck a Lamborghini. It was the Lamborghini Sport Trofeo Race Series, and the guy drops a new Lambo right into a concrete bunker 9 minutes into the race, or 9 minutes remaining into the race.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah, I felt bad for the guy. The latest guy is Washington Nationals shortstop Trey Turner.
What'd Trey do?
He's the latest professional athlete to have old tweets resurface and cast him in a negative light. The tweets went back from 2011 to 2012 when he was 17 and 18 years old. And,
some gay stuff, some anti-gay
some of that,
stuff.
Yeah. Insensitive language. Basically, the kind of talk that you do when you're an idiot at 7 and 18. Right. I call him an idiot at 7 and 18 because
we all did the
same thing.
Yeah. And I wonder where he's from. I mean,
and the things you said, okay, how long ago was it?
Back it was 17. It was
17 years ago?
Yeah.
He was 17 and 18 years old. So this was back in 2011, 2012.
I mean, the things that were acceptable. I mean, I just watched a movie
the other day.
And they were, you know, it was like, acceptable to, you know, the F word for gays. Use it left and right in a movie called Waiting. And back then it was acceptable.
I don't think it's been acceptable since the... I mean, it's never should have been acceptable, but in mixed company, you could say the horrible F word a lot of times in the 90s and be fine. I think once we crept into the 2000s, it was...
But my point is, though, there was a time when certain things were said and it wasn't...
This ain't the case.
Well, what year were we talking about?
This is 2011, dude.
And he was saying what?
All those slurs. All the slurs that you want, that you wouldn't want to say a 17-year-old saying in 2011. But this is not that long ago.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, and what's... I hope this doesn't happen, but one of these guys is going to end up being the victim. They're going to pay the price for everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? In the sense that someone's going to lose their job.
Yeah.
Someone's going to lose their Major League Baseball gig because of something he said when he was 7 and 18 and made an example of. Because after what happened at the All-Star game, and there's a couple more. There's what happened after the men's NCAA championship game, and one of the guys there got caught. If you're an athlete and you're getting ready to go pro, or you're at that level at the, you know, where you're...
But the game's about to change.
Yeah, and people are aware of you. There is no excuse right now. Like, even today, at 10 o'clock in the morning, every athlete, every professional athlete should be going scrubbing through their social media.
Somebody else has already done it.
Because someone's doing it, and someone's looking to mess you up.
They're looking at scores. There are people right now that are looking at high school scores. Saying, huh, Dwayne Johnson, that's The Rock, but scored 30 points. He might be an up-and-coming. Let me write his little name down. What's his Instagram? What's his? Yeah. They'll keep that on file.
Just go to McDonald's All-American list.
I was just going to say that, Jimmy. All you got to do is look at all the kids that, you know, whoever plays AAU, whoever's on touring baseball teams. I mean, if you're a kid in high school right now, you need to learn this lesson.
And guess what? I was reading about this new program that job interviewers will have. Okay, it's one thing to post, you do a status update, and it's there for the world to see. It's another thing to comment on another page on another post. You think, oh, well, that's hidden. Nobody will see that. No. Now they will type in keywords, and it will pull up every comment that you've made on other pages, and they're going to sit there, well, you said the F word, and I'm not talking the screw you word, 100 times in the month of May. No, we're not going to hire you here at Johnson & Johnson.
Well, I mean, what Angel was talking about is the scrubbing thing. Coming in this morning, listening to ESPN, of course, they were talking about this very story, and the guy, Maller, said, you know, I've know tons of athletes who have hired people to go back in their social media feeds and erase or scrub the stuff that they can get as much as they can because of this very thing. I mean, you know, especially like in the world of endorsements. I mean,
like Lois just said, right now, there are people, there are bloggers, there are all these guys who they see a name pop up, boom. Let me see this.
Yeah.
And then screenshot, and they'll file it. And they're waiting for that moment. They're waiting for that gotcha moment where, you know, you win, you become the MVP of the men's tournament, and boom. Oh, did you hear what this guy said?
Right.
You mess up at the Major League Baseball All-Star game. Oh, on top of him losing the game, look what else he said. You know what I mean? So that's how you guys, you know.
Be careful.
Be careful, because it'll get you. Here's some more audio. This is a pretty – I usually play the audio for the home runs. This is a pretty cool defensive play. Jackie Bradley Jr.
And a 1-2. Left center field on the move. Jackie Bradley lunging down. Oh, he made the play! And he slams into the wall! A sliding stab on a great, great catch by Jackie Bradley. At the crack of the bat, it looked like there was no way on earth he was going to run that down, but he did.
Jackie Bradley.
Look at Evaldi, the pitcher. I mean,
sounds like a name that you'd give a woman who won the Pillsbury Best Cook-Off contest. It'd be like, and your winner, the best pie is Jackie Bradley.
Is the alley-oop in basketball comparable to the lunging grab? Like, I'm trying to, like, there's nothing like a home run, except maybe a slam dunk. But even then.
Yeah, I think your home run is your half-court shot from Steph pulls up.
Yeah.
In your face, but he doesn't have to when the entire defense is under the basket.
So then the jumping catch is, you know, football's a jumping catch, but in basketball, would it be an alley? Would it be?
I don't know, dude. I mean,
I think that it's close. It all depends on who's making the call.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
who
yeah.
your announcers are. And baseball, for whatever, I love basketball, and I love watching basketball. There's specific guys that when I know that they're calling the game, I'll tune into them. But baseball guys, there's just such a poetic poetic kind of way they make those calls that I love hearing the local guys call their home team baseball games. You know what I mean?
And another thing, played a little bit of outfield when I was growing up, and you know, running to catch a fly ball is one thing, but running and have to dive and stretch out is different because if you don't do it properly, your head's going up and down, so you lose perspective how the ball's flying. So when you see those guys at that level make catches like that, it's way, 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 way more difficult than you give it credit for. Not saying an alley-oop is not, but...
And then we'll wrap it up with this. Congratulations to Lewis Hamilton for his victory in F1 over the weekend at Hungaroring. It's another victory for him this season.
Is he the GOAT? Is he the GOAT right now?
Greatest of all time? No, I think people will argue and say Michael Schumacher. And in F1, Schumacher probably still. Schumacher. And that's Monster Sports.
Hey, when do we get another name of our football team in Orlando that's going to play out at the UCF?
They have not announced any kind of timetable informing or releasing the names of the teams yet.
It's Spurrier's team.
He's
right?
our head coach.
All right, all right, you're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Tickets are now available for the Monster Brew Bus. It was so much fun last year. It's been taking us some time to get it all together this year, but we finally got it all together, which is awesome. And we're going to be going to Sanford Brewing, New Smyrna Beach Brewing. Not New Smyrna Beach, New Smyrna Brewing. You throw in beach, that sometimes makes people mad. It's New Smyrna Brewing, Daytona Beach Brewing, and it's all in a beautiful bus. And it's going to be on August the 11th, the Monster Brew Bus. I'm going, Angel's going. It's going to be a great time. Get your tickets. There's only 50 seats. That's it. When we're done, we're done. You can get tickets now by going to realradio.fm/brewbus or monsters.fm/brewbus.
Huge thank you. Thank you to Blog and Molly. She's the one that really hustled to make this happen.
And it's
so thank you very much, Blogster.
Yeah, and it's happening now, right? You can get tickets now.
Tickets are selling right now. I've already had people texting in that they're grabbing their tickets. So they're going to go quickly, I think.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Okay, so I am fascinated. There are certain things I'm fascinated with, and one of them is the advancement in the robots and AI and all the different things. And one of the things I know I've always thought or we've always said is, well, one thing, you know, that AI or computers or robots won't be able to do is anything artistic. I mean, it won't be able to think like that. That's only for humans. Did you see the story over the weekend about this new computer program they've invented and it'll finish art projects, it will write songs, it will everything that's artistic it now can do. Matter of fact, Jimmy, one of the things they had this thing do is if you are doodling, right, and you draw a cloud, it starts to fill in and make raindrops come from the cloud, and turns it into like a little cartoon. Yeah. If you start drawing certain things repetitively, it fills in and starts doing it for you. And matter of fact, they had it where it was able to create artwork, and there were people that were curators of museums and stuff, and they could not tell which one was created by a human or which one was created by the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful pieces of art, and then they said, well, you know, of course, it's not going to be able to know how to make music all by itself. I'll be damned. They had this same program or whatever. A guy was writing some songs on the piano, and then he stops, and then it filled in and finished the song for him.
So it basically takes it still has to have input.
Well, it already has the input. It had the input of, I think it was 100,000 songs, and it takes... It takes what they think the next step would be.
Right, yeah, the logical steps. But it does still have input based on human creation, right?
That happens one time.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because it just has ability to access all that. So let's say you're writing a song in the key of G with a certain beats per minute. And you stop halfway through. What it does is already assume, based on the information that it has, how the song could go as it moved forward based on the beats per minute and the key that it's in.
That's old AI. General AI is different. What general AI does is start it as a baby with zero information. That's what beat the Go championship guy, right? And they start playing and they start like a real mind. They start playing the game, but they're able to simulate the game. Well, and for this, they're able to simulate writing over and over. So no input, just the task on on this particular task. Not like it's inputting these great works of art.
Well, they had
these
guy, pieces of music. They had this guy that he's a musician. That's what he does, and he writes music. And he said, you know, I came to a time where I would have writer's block, and I couldn't write, and I started using this program, and it would get me through and take me this direction. And he was able to finish the song because basically the computer was finishing the song for him. Mm. It was pretty amazing. I mean, it goes to show where I thought when it came to artistic stuff, we would, you know,
right.
A computer wouldn't be able to do it.
Do you see a day where the AI generated art fills museums and we don't look at the pieces that are here now?
I don't know if that is the case.
It will absolutely be there, but the marketplace is big enough to have AI art and human art. And in between, I mean, there's so much world to be filled up. And I absolutely see going to a gallery and seeing a whole presentation of it's probably actually already happened.
Because that's a sad state of affairs. Mm-hmm. We're relying on artificial intelligence. That's why this stuff perplexes me, because we're relying on the AI and all these things to do these things that humans would do for what? To take over an artist? To take over music writers,
I think it's just another form of art. And I think if it took over all of, you know, manual painting or manual,
like, yeah, it's, yeah, like writing. when we talk in these things, it's hard not to quote the great words of Morpheus. We as humans are just going to sit back and revel on how awesome we are at coming up with these things, and then these things become self-aware. It's like, what do we need you for?
It's happening right now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, I'm Team Robot. I'm with them. I'm going to help them.
It is interesting because you know, when the IBM computer beat
Watson,
Kasparov. In chess. Mm-hmm. You know, you heard about it as an anomaly. Like, okay, the machine obviously can compute faster than a human. I mean, we know that for a fact. We know that certain computers can do a billion motions in 1 second or whatever. We'll never be able to replicate that as a human. We just can't think that fast. It doesn't work like that. We're not really built that way. So I don't understand. So nobody really has stepped up to play chess against the computer anymore. Because it's not fair. It doesn't have any value.
Yeah.
If I beat the computer, it's unbeatable. You can't beat it. You can only draw it. It's going now. It's thinking 90 steps ahead, and I think a chess master thinks 20 steps ahead.
A Go master, the Chinese Go game, they're thinking 150 steps ahead.
And they're still behind by a million.
Yeah. Well, the computer was able to beat with that general AI technology, which was able to beat the poker player. It's very different than what you're talking about with IBM. They're two separate versions of AI, and that is your more pump it in with information, and then it will create. And then the general AI, which is where you can take that basis and apply it to anything, is literally it learns on its own.
It learned on its own. So this guy just drew a cloud, and it knew that if it sees that particular symbol, you put raindrops in the cloud. It's crazy how it already thinks because of what.
Had to know what a cloud was.
Because it was the you're right, because it had an input from thousands and thousands of photos,
right.
And it recognizes that and goes, well, what goes with this? This is what goes with this. Or if you're writing a song, what goes with this particular guitar pattern? Oh, right. this guitar pattern has been before, and it finishes.
It's still only mimicking what humans have already done, right?
Correct. Yeah.
But I don't know specifically with that one, but I know that there are different versions that are not what you're saying, that are entire, and that's what they're kind of focusing on. The Go Championship was built on general AI. That's the term that they keep using, general AI. I don't know. It fascinates me, man. I don't really know. I just read and watch a bunch of stuff.
It is really weird, though, because, I mean, how could a machine understand the idea of what art even is if it doesn't understand what it is?
That's the freaky part.
What I'm saying is I don't know if that's actual. What I'm saying is a computer could never understand. If I create a computer and it just say, okay, I have that non-general AI, mm-hmm. it would never even understand what art is had it not been told in some way, shape, or form. No, it can't.
It does. This is how it does it. It starts with thousands upon thousands of simulations of learning and trying and failing. So it starts with one dot on the page. Like I said, I don't know entirely this one, but I know with the Go Championship, it was like, learns the board. They had one that they showed it to be able to learn to walk, a robot to learn how to walk. And it was just like flat, like a sloth would, without any upper body strength. And then it learned to move this one. Okay, and then it follows. Then moved to this one. By the end, it's running. And so that similar kind of process is then taken to other stuff.
And that's how they did it with art. And this was an unusual story because this is one of the things that we always thought, you know, AI would never be able to do, you know, is create art that's from a guy's mind or memory or whatever. But they were able to input thousands of paintings, thousands of drawings, thousands of, you know, and then it just kind of determines, okay, well, this is what's done in the past.
Right.
I'll finish this, you know, this beginning this week. It was CBS Sunday Morning. Yeah, I watch that every week. And it was really interesting.
Yeah. And my issue with that is, again, the texting service is checking in and kind of getting the idea of what I'm saying. It's not going to ever be able to innovate because it doesn't understand what innovation is. It only understands learning. And what you talk about is gross motor skills. Mm-hmm. No different than a puppy would learn how to walk or a baby giraffe or whatever the case. It fails by learning and gets up. But still, it's still a baby giraffe that does not understand the idea of art. A puppy does not... just because you've learned gross motor skills, the idea of art is purely human.
Yeah,
purely,
yeah, yeah,
100% human. Mm-hmm. Going back from painting on cave walls with the blood of an ox or a wolf or whatever the case may be, it is a purely human invention.
Well, what they did, though, is they had this this particular, it wasn't a robot, but it was like a program or whatever, and they asked it to make, I think it was like 50 different art pieces of art, and it was all original art. It was not anything that had been done before. It was just the addition of like 60 things all together, and it was all abstract art, and then they took the abstract art and they put it up against stuff that had actually been done by a human, and these people that were total professionals could not tell which was which.
I mean,
and that's a good thing?
I didn't say it was good. It should be scary. They're getting closer to being human.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're talking about this, and no one's giving me the answer. What are we going to do when everything is done for us? What, are we just going to sit there and just spread peanut butter on our nards?
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
it's a good idea.
I mean, AI is one thing, but when autonomous vehicles take over, and it's all based upon the same thing. The number one job in the world is driver in many different levels, and that is the most occupied job by males 25 to 60 years old.
Yeah.
And when they come to you and they go, hi, I'm at Amazon Autonomous Cars, and you pay a fee for a month of $100, and your trucks will never miss a drop-off. Your trucks will always be on time.
What are your trucks going to be delivering?
They're going to be products that...
Where are you going to be driving to when you don't have to go anywhere?
You know what the other interesting aspect of that is?
Pods, like, there's and caves.
There's only these weird rebound things. Like, what does that do to the insurance business?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what does that do when you automate driving to the point where there are no accidents or let's say 30% fewer accidents because of all that? I mean, you're right. I mean, you look at the people driving vehicles. So now, not only do you have out-of-work drivers, you have out-of-work insurance adjusters, out-of-work insurance sales reps, out-of-work people who work in the office filing claims.
Yeah.
All of those people are now out of work. Now what?
Yeah, the adjustments will have to happen.
It is something you've lived with. I live with you say something that sounds great, and then you have to ask yourself, at what cost? You know, when you look at something so great, at what cost does that come?
Oh, yeah.
And you're right. At the job cost, I mean, you already deal with an unemployment rate. Now, of course, it's lower now, but we've seen it go up to, you know, 10%+.
People are saying it's 40%.
At what cost do you want yourself driven around? A very simple, mindless a feat that we pull off daily in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
Why does that need to be so automated?
Because
I mean, why are we so fascinated with that? That's really a bigger question.
I think we'll look back in the future, we'll look back and go, man, all that time lost in traffic, all those deaths.
Well,
a lot of
like, I drove in this morning and there was a huge accident, you know, and I'm sure someone was at fault, you know, and
they'll laugh at us that we had our phones out, that we were able to access our phones while driving.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, you know, cigarettes in the hospital room, you know, things that we look back now and go, oh my god, you were able to smoke in a hospital.
but
we really don't know because technology is exponential and it's always growing on levels that we can't even begin to understand.
All right, 407-916-1041. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning. In the morning on Real Radio 104.1, and we're broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos, all here today. Hey, tomorrow on the Monsters of the Morning, your opportunity to win the tickets for two to our Monster Fan Appreciation Show, which is going to be at Universal Studios Orlando this coming Saturday. We'll be live there on Friday as well. But if you want to win those tickets tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock for the Triple R segment at 7, you have a chance to call in and win. And then at 9 o'clock, it's the if you go to monsters.fm and you go check out the Daily 5, you could win tickets to the Monster Fan Appreciation Show, which is this week. I'm excited about that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Too.
So we got that. Okay, I got an email that's a kind of usually you guys can figure these things out a little better than me. This one's a bit unusual. And if you ever want to send me an email and have us talk about your particular situation on the air, it's russ@wtks.com. That's russ@wtks.com. And sometimes I'll just email you back, or sometimes we'll read them on the air. And this is from, hold on, what's her name? Allison. Allison's been listening for a while, big fan of the show. Emailing you because I went on a first date this past Saturday night with a guy that I met a week earlier at a friend's barbecue. And when he showed up to the date, he brought a friend with him on our date. So it was so strange because he acted like it was no big deal. He just walked up to me at the restaurant bar and said, "Hey, how you doing? This is my buddy Steve. He's going to join us this evening." And she said Steve looked a little uncomfortable, but had drinks and appetizer, and we all sat and talked and laughed. Around that time, he excused himself to go make a phone call and then came back and said that he had to go. I didn't say anything.
Steve left or the date left?
No, the Steve left.
Okay.
Steve left. I didn't say anything to my date, and he didn't even bring it up afterwards. But then he asked me if I want to go out again on Wednesday. And I said, "Well, is Steve going to be coming with us?" And the guy said, "Well, I'm not sure." And then she says, here's a question for the monster. She said, "How should I read this guy? Is he just insecure and needs a friend by his side? Should I give this guy even a second chance? It was so weird, but I like him." And that's Allison.
That's kind of a weird tell, though, for somebody. I mean, if you like him, I mean, you like his personality, but man, I mean.
He brought a buddy along with him.
That's now, bizarre, man.
I've done some weird stuff in my time. I don't think I ever, like, had Bo come tag along with on a date.
Easy.
Without it being known. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you just show up with another dude. I mean, if you say, "Hey, look, you know, my buddy's in town and I haven't seen him in quite a while. I do want to go out with you. I don't want to miss this opportunity of hanging out with you. But do you mind if my buddy Steve hangs out? I mean, he's really cool."
Okay, I could see if this were a chick thing where a girl goes, "Hey, listen, come with me. I don't know much about this guy. I want to make sure the date goes okay. I want to make sure the guy's not a creepo. And if he's not a creepo, then I'll give you the sign and you can leave me by myself with him." I can see a girl doing that, but I don't see a guy doing that. Going, come along with me. I don't know if I'm going to like this girl.
Right.
Every guy that's texting in right now, you know what they're thinking?
What?
That they were trying to set up a threesome.
Yeah.
See?
A devil's threesome.
That's what the guys texting in are thinking. This guy was so whatever vibe she's putting out, you know.
So she could be putting out the swinger vibe,
or the threesome vibe,
or the threesome vibe.
I don't know about that, dude. Really? That just seems like a guy that doesn't really have a lot of confidence in himself. Well, that's what it looks like. It sounds like to me. I mean, I would never in a million years do that.
And she asks, you know, is he just insecure? Could be. He could be insecure, I guess.
No, but Jimmy, how about this, though? If you're that guy, right, and you're worried about the way that this date is going to go, wouldn't you have your buddy, all right, so just be at the bar. Don't necessarily be part of the date, but if I give you the signal, you know, hey, come bail me out and get me out of this.
She says it was so strange. He acted like there was no big deal. He just walked up to me at the restaurant bar and said, "Hey, this is my buddy Steve. He's going to join us this evening." She said they had a great time, but it was just weird that this guy came along.
Maybe he's just like, hey, first date's a first date. Let's get to know each other. It really shouldn't be one of those things that's expected to have intimacy or even implied intimacy. I just kind of want to hang out and see how. Or maybe he's really good friends with Steve, and he's like he's like one of those dudes. If she don't like Steve, she don't like me.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is equally as weird.
On a first date?
All of that is so alien to me. Like, I could never imagine doing that in 100 million years.
She said the date ended and he asked me out again for drinks on Wednesday. I asked him if Steve would be coming. He said, "I'm not sure."
Maybe he's a bad judge of character. Maybe he, you know, Steve has got his kind of S together, and he's like, "Hey, dude, I think I like this chick, but my last four women have been whores, and I picked a bad one." And Steve, you're on par.
Stop looking at me when you're saying that. It's really weird.
Look at you.
and you said, hey, man, it's just a first date. We're going to meet at a bar. We're not going to Bear and Bull or whatever.
And when you're right about that.
But Jimmy, do you think he's right?
I would, but.
Meeting in a bar situation, a restaurant bar, is not like a date, is it?
It's not.
Yeah, if you're meeting, you know, at Bennigan's.
And the reason
whatever, dude.
If we're trying to be equal in a lot of senses, we would have no issues. My wife came with a friend the very first quote-unquote date.
Oh.
I actually think that's more common than we believe, yeah. Especially now with social media dating, like with Tinder and other apps and online services. I think that's a protection thing. I mean, and I completely understand that with a female, especially your wife's an attractive woman.
Yeah.
But with a man, you wouldn't assume that a man would need protection other than the, hey, I wasn't doing anything. Like, my first date with my wife was at a bar where there was, like, darts being played and stuff like that. So it was people just kind of hanging out. It wasn't like a one-on-one sitting across from a table trying to make small talk.
It's funny. My wife at the time, obviously not my wife, but she hit me up. And I hadn't talked to her in a while. I was like, yeah, let's meet up. And then she came over to my house. And when she got out of the car, it was her friend. But I didn't really remember because she was also blonde. I was like, all right, cool. I was like, she looks pretty good. And then my wife got, I was like, oh, hell yeah. But
you're like, either way this goes, it's going to be fine.
Exactly. So I can kind of, like, I could get it with a dude. Like, he shows up. It's not that
How
formal.
About this one? I would have never thought of this in a million years.
What?
What about if Steve is his sponsor and wanted to make sure that he wasn't going to be with an enabler?
Well, if that's what we're drinking.
My God. And then somebody else said he's gay. I don't understand how that makes him gay.
How do you know if Steve's gay?
No, I don't get it. I'm saying is the guy is on a date with a female. He wouldn't even agree with that. If he's gay, that doesn't really...
And he asked her out for another date, you know?
Yeah.
And then when she said, is Steve coming? Because I'm not sure.
She could be a snappy dresser.
Might not.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, look, so we're just as, what was her name again? Allison, we're just as clueless.
Actually, we want to follow up, Allison.
Yeah. Allison, Wednesday, go on the date on Wednesday, tell us what happens, and please email me back, russ@wtks.com. I am truly, I'm curious of if he does bring Steve again.
Yeah, Allison, let me know where you're all going to go, and I'll just crash the bar and watch from afar.
Or be funny and bring like four of your friends.
Yeah.
There you go, make it a party. Well, she says she enjoyed it, and she wants to go on the other date, but she's like, I want to know, is the guy insecure? That's probably a big turnoff for women if a guy's insecure.
Yeah,
right?
Massive.
But think about this: how many times have you heard the story of a person like, "Yeah, I was dating my husband's brother or my husband's best friend. We kind of all went out on a date together, and the next thing you know, I actually liked the friend more."
Yeah.
Oh, right, right.
Because I thought that's where it was going to go.
Oh, she liked Steve.
Yeah.
Hey, can Steve come back?
Because Steve
is
always
awesome.
Steve.
Oh, yeah, Allison, just keep talking about Steve all the time to him.
So he won't bring his ass back.
And the testing service actually checked in with one that actually makes sense. It says maybe he brought Steve because he thought maybe the chick was going to ghost him.
Well,
and they would be out.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have Steve sit down. Damn it, Steve.
Steve. It's always a Steve, isn't it?
Yeah,
always a Steve.
Call us Steve.
Stepdads are best friends.
You can email me, russ@wtks.com, and we'll try to help you out as much as possible. Hey, if you want to win tickets, we got tickets to the fifth row of WWE SmackDown.
What?
And they're on our website. Yeah, they're on our website right now. So go to monsters.fm and look for them. Check out the Monster blog. It's Monday's hint on how you can win those tickets for WWE SmackDown. Just go to monsters.fm, and everything is right there on how you can win those tickets. We're going to have tickets for the 5th, 4th, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st row of WWE SmackDown, all on our website at monsters.fm. Of course, this coming weekend, it's our Monster Fan Appreciation Show. You're going to want to listen tomorrow. Of course, at 7 o'clock, we do the Triple R segment at 7. You could win if you call in, and also on our website at monsters.fm on the Daily 5. Make sure your name is entered there for the Daily 5. If you see your name, then we'll give you those tickets. The Monster Brew Bus is coming up, and you better get the tickets today or tomorrow, because there's only 50 spots left.
Texting is any indication. They're going fast.
Yeah, so. This promotion will be taken care of in a couple days. You want to definitely get your tickets to go on this. It is a lot of fun. We go to 3 different breweries. We taste all the beers. We have a great time, and you're going to enjoy it. And remember, if you want to bring the whole family out to something I don't think we've done a whole family thing for the Monsters ever before, but it's the Monsters Back to School Skate Party. And we want to thank Ryan Holmes for making that flyer, Carlos.
Oh man, yeah, I haven't put it out yet, but thank you, Ryan. It's the back to school skate party, and he did a great job with it. And it has everybody on there. I'll be posting it on different social medias and such.
Yeah, it's at Astro Skate, and it's going to be on the August the 10th from 7 till 9. And we're just asking you if you could just bring along some school supplies and stuff to help kids. It's a gift for teaching for kids going back to school. What else?
Jim Colbert Show Instagram, Jim Colbert Show Prime, or Twitter and Facebook. And by the way, Ross put up a video of him at a Starbucks drive-thru with his slide whistle.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Where did he get that at?
I don't understand. We did a topic a couple weeks ago about drinking and shopping online. He got hammered drunk and bought a $40 stainless steel slide whistle. And I'm telling you, I had it last week in my hand. You could beat someone to death with it.
It
weighs
heavy.
Like 3 pounds. It is no joke.
I saw him at the Starbucks.
And he goes to Starbucks and he orders a salted caramel macchiato, which I guess is the hottest drink. And when they said they were out, he does something with a slide whistle that makes me laugh. I don't know. That guy drives me crazy funny. But yeah, if you just all the social media for Jim Colbert Show, please give us a hit.
All right. Go check that out. All right, stay tuned for the News Junkie right after the Monsters at 3 o'clock. Is the one and only Jim Phillips from the Phillips File. Then it's Tom and Dan. Then it's Real Last with Monster Comics. We're back tomorrow to do our thing. From Dirty Jim, Angel and Carlos.
And the leader of this mess, Mary Man, Russ. Hey, there's Steve Rollins.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. We ain't got to go home.
We got to get the hell up out of here.
Swirl.
Whoa, Real Radio 104.1.